Also in the chat room, they want to know, do we really think that Vince McMahon told Dr. D, David Schultz, to beat up John Stossel?
I don't think so. I think Dr. D's a psycho. I think he was the and talk about a predecessor to Steve Austin. I think Dr. D was the original.
You know what?
It's funny because that footage is on the YouTube, and when he smacked the shit out of that guy.
Joe, when you see him though, don't you, Joe? When you see Dr. D in that clip, don't you see Austin?
That guy was brutal in that. That was unnecessary.
I remember that was on 2020. Kevin, you remember the night that aired? That was a fucking big deal back then.
We were in high school at the time, I think, because we were around the same age. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and that was a big deal. That was the talk around the fucking school.
That was brutal. I thought that was unnecessary.
But honestly, what I think happened was this. John Stossel, even though people nowadays have no fucking clue who he is, back in the early 80s, John Stossel, as far as doing 2020, was actually a household name. The guy was very well known back then, and I can't picture Vince McMahon telling a wrestler to smack the shit out of a guy that's on national television for a national show. Because you got to remember, there was no Fox News channel. There was no
2020 season. Just came out. I think it was 2020, yeah. Like first or second.
And there
year
was
in
no
existence.
Cable news back then. There was WHT. Remember the one with Wameco Home Theater?
Wameco Home Theater.
But Funker, even in that video, the guy that you're talking about, he actually says that he heard Vince McMahon say, "I shouldn't have told him to do that."
You know what?
Did you guys see Mr. Fuji in the background there with the Iron Sheik?
Yeah.
I think happened was Vince probably knew that the guy was there. Vince probably said, you know what, you go out there and just put a scare into him and, stay in character. I think that he meant just be a heel, go out there and do what any heel in the wrestling business would do if you're asked if wrestling is fake. Because remember, back in that era, it was still protected. So when Uncle Joe used to say to you, wrestling's fake, you would turn around and say, mm-hmm. No, it's not. Shut up. Don't tell me
that's
that.
That's exactly what happened to me.
I was doing that in high school.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to me, man.
Right. So I think Dr. D.
I would get into arguments with my family members.
Me too. I would get so upset I did physical conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Really big arguments. And the funny thing is, the same thing happened to Hogan with Belzer.
My uncle, that cocksucker, I should go piss on his grave tomorrow.
The funny thing is that my uncle was the one that got me into wrestling, and he kept telling me, this is fake. And the funny thing is that Hulk Hogan was on Howard Stern talking about that situation with Belzer, and he said that really got out of hand.
I actually got the footage. Remember when I played the audio on my hotline? When he had the footage. I actually saw that.
I saw it. I actually had it on tape.
Hogan was not too thrilled about when Howard Stern brought that up.
Yep. Funny?
Hogan didn't have a lot of money back then. He had a lot to lose in that lawsuit.
Yeah, well, if you look at that sleeper hold you put on Belzer really looks like he was really knocked out. His body went limp. His body fucking looked
Belzer to me was always a scumbaggy type of guy.
He said that he knocked him out.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, but
Hogan did say that.
When he lifted his head and there was drips of blood coming down, I was like, oh, shit. It's fucked up, but anyway.
David Schultz definitely was an influence.
Yeah,
that was my favorite era though. When you told the wrestlers like that wrestling was fake and they just beat the shit out of you, that was awesome.
Bill Watts, the stories about Bill Watts, and if you were a wrestler and you got beat up by a fan, you got fired from the territory
because you lost your credibility.
Yeah,
you both did. See what Dr. D. What I think was Vince told him to stay in character, but I don't think Vince in any way told him to hit him. I think what Dr. D. thought was that by smacking the guy around a little bit, he could get cootie points with Vince McMahon, and then when it went all over national TV and WWF got shitted on so bad, it got all this negative attention.
And Schultz was in a major promotional push with Orndorff and Piper in that crew. He was part of that crew.
That's right.
Orndorff, Piper, and Orton. He was part of
the
dropped.
I think the funniest thing about this conversation is that nobody knows who we're talking about.
No, I think a lot of people know.
For everybody that's listening, we're going to do this next week. I want people to call in and tell us the first time that you realized wrestling was choreographed, let's say. But I remember my uncle, this cocksucker, he used to enjoy tormenting me and my other cousins who were young. You know what he used to do when we were 8 years old as a joke? And I don't even now as an adult, I don't know what's funny about it. He used to smoke. No, he used to smoke. And he used to say, give me your hand. And he would put the cigarette out on your hand. Like it's a trick. And I,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What
I'm
the hell kind of family did you grow up with?
Jeez, he was a dick.
What is this? It sounds like the character Brad Pitt played in California.
I remember vividly one night, Jimmy Snuka wrestling on Channel 9 at midnight, WWF Superstars.
We were over
my uncle's house for a birthday, and it was getting late, and this sucks. For anybody that's younger, you know what I mean. You're out by a relative's house, and you're like maybe 10 or 12 years old, and then, you know, it's about 11 o'clock, and you want to watch something at 12. And then at 11:30, your parents say, okay, it's time to go home. But you know it's more than a half an hour to go home.
Long Island trip to Queens or to Brooklyn.
That experience with the Slammy Awards, I was going to Atlantic City, and they were giving the Slammy Awards live in Atlantic City, and that was torture for me.
Yeah, so we were
And I believe all of our parents did it on purpose.
I think they did.
I convinced my family to stay over there a little bit longer. Wrestling came on, because I wanted to watch wrestling right after the races, you know, right before the race, whatever the fuck it was.
The horse races, from...
Meadowlands.
Where was that from, Anthony? I was from...
Meadowlands.
Where were those races from? Meadowlands,
Meadowlands, yeah. So anyway, remember vividly one night Jimmy Snuka was fighting Samoan number 3, Samu. He was having his match, and my uncle, that cocksucker, oh no, it's fake, it's fake. And like, shut up, it's not fake. Yeah, it's fake. And you know what the cocksucker did? He went into his he ran and got a blank tape, threw it in the VCR, taped part of the match, and after wrestling was over, he decided to rewind it. And granted, back then the tracking wasn't that great, but in slow motion, he would go it slow so you could see that.
Yes, they did the exact same thing to me with the slow motion crap.
And
he would say, do you see, they didn't even touch the guy's face.
Piss me off.
You turn on the NWA and then you show them that that's real.
It was from that point on when I used to watch wrestling in secret.
It's time for the Minority Report here on FanTalkLive.com.
Attention, attention. This radio frequency is under invasion. You are witnessing a rare example of a complete transformation.
Transformation
right before your ears. How does it feel?
Support the plot and the minority.
Roger, roll program complete. The vehicle is on target, running smoothly.
Looking good, Capricorn.
Don't try to adjust your set. What you are hearing is the real. You lock on to this frequency.
All systems are go, all lights are green. We're at T-minus 3 minutes, mark.
May we have your attention? What you are about to hear is the direct result of your ideas. Stand by. You are about to embark on a radio journey that will take you to new places and to some that are strikingly familiar. Our mission is to let you take the helm.
You are now in the driver's seat.
Here are the keys. Let's go for a test drive.
Everybody, it's Monday night. You're listening to the Minority Report I am, of course, Joey924, and with me is the man that is the sixth member of the Spirit Squad.
Kevin Castle.
Control your excitement. And also with us as well is the man that provided us with that extreme music.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah. I am Anthony de Blasi, a.k.a., and I know, Armando, you bit this off of me, Abushita. And by the way, somebody please, listen, I'm a money mark. I got the cash. I will pay somebody out there. You got to do two things for the Minority Report, please. Somebody needs to assassinate Jim Johnstone, the musical extraordinaire for WWE, and please, somebody convince WWE to bring in Harry Slash to do some ECW music. I mean, what the fuck did the Sandman and Balls Mahoney come out to yesterday? I mean, WWE supposedly listens to the fans and, oh, we want the ECW back and, oh, this and all that, and then we get it back. But meanwhile, one of the most important aspects of last year's show and the thing that got fans shitting on last year's ECW DVD by taking out his entrance music, you mean to tell me that this is your best? We're going to have the Sandman come out and do a whole fucking entrance, and we're going to hear that music yesterday. I would rather hear the fucking MIDI music that we just listened to and have the Sandman come out, and I would actually mark out more. I don't know if you agree. What do you guys think?
Oh, I didn't really pay. I mean, that didn't mean that much to me. I mean, the Balls Mahoney sounded similar.
The Balls one was okay, but the Sandman was a show.
The whole thing about Balls Mahoney's entrance is the fans.
He's not a top guy, so I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? He could be one of the top guys in ECW, believe it or not. I mean, he got designated to taking a chair shot tonight, but I don't know. Yeah. Honestly, Balls Mahoney's entrance is he's over with the fans because of his entrance, too, because they like to chant Big Balls with him. And the Sandman, his whole fucking entrance, you know, is tainted by not having that music. And I know some people.
His entrance is his act.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, fans, I want you to really.
Once the bell rings, there's nothing there. I mean, we all know that.
I want you to really stop and think about it for a minute. Sandman has been on the indies for a while now. I've seen him up close and personal. When you go to see the Sandman live and in person, what do you take home with? The memory of him going into the crowd. Joey, you saw it firsthand in Philadelphia that time when you went down with us, and he was doing his intro, and he was standing right next to you, he was drinking beer, and everybody was having a great time. You know, that is one of the most important aspects about him. And if the Mets and the New York Yankees could pay royalties to have their closing pitchers come out to close games. Now, how many games does Billy Wagner close a year or appear in? 50? How many is Mariano Rivera?
This year, right through the World Series.
Yeah, he's going to. The two combined are going to appear 120 times. So they play into the Sandman's music every time they come out. You mean to tell me that the WWE can't pay royalties for maybe 10 appearances for the Sandman?
But, Anthony, you're talking about Mets and Yankees, you know, and you're talking about the Sandman. I mean, come on.
Wait a minute. How much are the Mets worth?
How much is the Sandman worth? But how much is Billy Wagner worth? $20 million. How much is the Sandman getting paid?
I understand that, but
I mean, how much the Mets drawing on average? 48,000.
I understand that.
How many WWE draws on 1,000?
Yeah,
5,000.
I understand that.
I mean,
Mets,
you know, these are dumb comparisons.
Yeah, but Mets and Yankee fans don't come down. Don't go to the baseball game so they could have Billy
the
Wagner.
The closer's a big part. Mariano coming in.
Yeah, but
is
they
big
don't
part.
Give a shit.
Now
if
Billy Wagner coming in.
They
is
don't
big
care.
Part.
I will say this. At least Balls Mahoney was similar to his song, and obviously I can understand that. But Sandman, they need that music. They
come
need
up with
that
something
music.
New for him anyway. No. Not for nothing. That song is. I agree with certain sportscasters about the Mets and Yankees using it. It's
Kevin,
a stupid ass song.
If Billy Wagner,
I don't like
Sandman.
It at all. And I do have you. Metals for the last 15 years. I can't stand that song.
Yeah, but if Billy Wagner came out,
it's like having the red and yellow Hulk Hogan come out to the NWO music.
I didn't mind that for a while. I don't mind change. I'm a guy who hates getting older, but I don't mind.
Are you telling
change.
Me that the Ultimate Warrior would have came out to like some kind of opera music?
No, but Ultimate Warrior wasn't around as long when you really think about it. He had
but
such
I'm not,
sporadic
that's not the question
here and,
I'm
you know, coming and going.
The question I'm asking.
Oh, he didn't come
so
out
man.
To the same thing in WCW.
Yeah, and that was horrendous.
Yeah, but it was horrendous because of, you know, the way it was worked out.
So Kevin,
the whole,
Kevin,
the whole
a lot of people, before I say
I will give you that point, actually. I will give you that point.
Well, mm-hmm. Billy Wagner could come out to Dentist music. The fans are going to still show up. They don't show up because
right.
they want to hear his
well,
music.
Same thing for Mariano. But
right,
it's
but
the
Sandman would not be under a WWE deal right now. Put it this way. If the Sandman didn't have his entrance, the Sandman would still be working the indies at a much lower pay.
But hey, that's also
well.
A very bad thing that's all there is to that act. That's, I mean, especially since, and I don't know how much, you know, Joey's a big fan of guys who can work. So, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, do you agree? Isn't that kind of terrible? That's his whole shtick?
I think after that music stops, it's nonsense? I think it is because, you know, it takes you back to the Warrior DVD where they try to place that on the Warrior, which is not true. But I think Sandman's a little...
Well, the Warrior had finishing moves.
Exactly.
Slam.
Exactly.
That's
what I'm saying,
Sandman
that's my point.
Doesn't do anything.
My thing is, I think Sandman
game.
I think Sandman is a little underrated, just a little bit. I think he is... He
but
can
he did
actually
it to himself.
Go.
Yeah,
no,
he did
do it to himself. He could actually go in types of matches if you select them.
Just to move on a little bit, I would like to thank everybody in the chat room that had faith in listening to the show for the last couple of weeks especially. Because
is this the bragging segment?
Well, no, not it's sort of, but it's not. I mean, when we started talking about ECW a month and a half ago, you know, we don't need to reiterate everything we talked about, but that's the great thing about doing these shows because the archives are there. So for everybody like Mike Johnson, I mean, listen, I'm not going to trash the guy by making fun of him by saying, you know, did you see the Axe commercial tonight? That body odor spray? You spray it and all these little schoolgirls come running towards you. Mike, if you buy the Axe spray, all you're going to do is look like a smelly freak, a freak that smells nice. But anyway, but getting back to the wrestling aspect.
Thank God you didn't insult him.
This guy wrote essays about how the WWE can make ECW work and all this stuff and, you know, chapters and verses. And meanwhile, every one of us, for the most part, even the people in the chat room listening, all read it and said, Mike, what are you trying to audition for that 90s show? I mean, this is not your old ECW. Everything that you enjoyed about ECW that brought you to became an ECW fan is not here. There's nothing here. Even Sabu, great, he had a great match. But, see, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, Sabu had a match like that, Sabu would have never went to the back. How many times did Sabu go to the back in ECW? How many times did you have a geeky fucking 60-year-old drunken doctor come at ringside and say, no, they can't continue anymore. That's the end of the match. This match is over. It can't continue. Fuck that. If this was ECW, 911 would have came out and fucking chokeslammed the doctor. I mean,
well, we saw 911's condition last year on the
whole
thing.
Yeah, well, like
well, he dropped everybody.
The point I'm getting at is that we've been saying for a month and a half what ECW is going to be. And I think it's safe to say, putting PW Insider aside, putting Between the Ropes, Voice of Wrestling, every other radio show, I didn't hear not one radio show basically put it in the same perspective we did. And the reason why I say all this is
because we're not on that show.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is that if you look at everything that we said for the last 6 weeks, it's pretty much happening. I mean, we said that WWE versus ECW is going to continue far after the pay-per-view. We also said that if you look at ECW on Tuesday, they're going to have WWE people showing up at WIM.
I was surprised, by the way, that they didn't strip Van Damme of the belt. I don't like this whole thing. I don't like where this is going. Now Edge is going to be on there.
Yeah, they have Edge on ECW. John Cena's going
to
show up.
I mean, I like to see Edge on there. Edge can cut a hell of a promo and get the crowd going. But I don't know. I'd rather just see these two things separate. Let ECW ride its own wave, and WWE can get back to business of developing different guys. And they lost a bunch of guys now. Now build up some guys, bring up some different guys. Let's see some action on both ends. Let's see put up a shut up for both companies. Actually,
Stinger,
even though they're part of the same umbrella, but let's see both branches put up a shut up.
Stinger in the challenge.
Well, you know what? The funny they tried to do that with SmackDown, and that didn't work.
Stinger in the chat room says that Summer Survivor Series is going to be WWE versus ECW. I would not be surprised, but you know, I said 2 or 3 weeks ago that ECW is going to be the next, the NWO of the WWE. I mean, when I went to the chat room tonight, one of the first things people said on there was, you know, this looks just like NWO.
I mean, yeah, and can I say something to correct myself about something 2 weeks ago that I said? But now, it because it played out differently, now I see it. With the NWO thing, I didn't agree at first because I said, where's the Hall, where's the Nash, where's the Hogan? And now, Big Show. And I'm sure a third WWE guy is going to appear there tomorrow night, maybe Edge. You know, we don't know. Does anybody know for a fact that Edge is not turning ECW tomorrow night?
No, I personally think that Edge is going to attack RVD right when RVD tries to reincarnate the belt as the ECW belt.
And yeah, I'll even something's going to go down that's going to prevent
I'll even take it one step.
But I'm saying, now with Big Show and Angle, that's kind of like the Hall and Nash. I'm not exactly on the same level, so no one freak out in the chat room.
Right.
Yeah. It's probably, but it's now stars. Now they have stars. That like Hall and Nash are a star, Angle and Big Show are stars. Now they have that kind of, you know, Big Show's a big bruiser, come in, wreck everybody. Angle's a suplex, wrecking machine. So now I'm seeing the similarities more of the NWO. What it was lacking before Angle and Big Show joined the fold, was that what I was saying to myself, yeah, okay, plenty of time to come out and beat up Randy Orton, John Cena, Batista. Give me a break.
I mean,
you know, they're going to have two mid-carders come out and beat up the top guys.
You know, the funny thing is that when Justin Incredible Balls Mahoney and Steven Richards came out, they did the exact replica of when Hall and Nash first came to WCW, and they went into the audience and they bought tickets and they couldn't throw them out because they bought the tickets. Same scenario.
You know,
that's when I realized,
a little different mode of excitement.
Sending those particular three is really beyond me. But
this was reminiscent.
Talk about castaways.
Those were the three that were. Well, two of them weren't even on the pay per view. No.
I mean, me, you, and Moses could have showed up at the pay per view.
Hey, want to see how fucked up my memory is? I can't remember what I ate yesterday, but I'll remember this. You know what this reminded me of tonight? Remember the night that Public Enemy, God rest their souls, were taking on Harlem Heat, and then who came down and sat at ringside? Conan, Kevin Sullivan, Ted DiBiase, and somebody else. You had Conan and his group sitting like in one section, and then you had Ted DiBiase singing at ringside also. So
also don't forget Evolution coming.
Now don't get me wrong, for the people that I actually like this. I actually like that they're doing like an NWO thing because it's more realistic as far as the WWE is concerned because everybody knows
you know what?
ECW is not ECW, so why not make it like
Angle
that?
Angle versus Orton in the chat room, I disagree with you. He says Big Show and Kurt Angle are a million times better than Hall and Nash and more sober. I got
news. It's similar but different. You got a big, like I said, Show would be the Nash, and but it's not the same thing. Like I said, it's credibility wise.
Angle versus Orton.
It's fame. It's fame. It's famous wrestlers invading. That's
1996 has worn off for you. If this was 1996 right now and this was happening in both companies, that's like saying right now, who would win in a match between Bruno Sammartino and Eugene? I mean, really think about it. I mean, back in 1996, that's what made WCW Nitro, you know, literally knock WWE out of business.
It was because it was innovative.
Back then, people really thought that faction was an outside faction trying to continue. It was to the point where because they were threatening lawsuits, WWE, that Hall and Nash had to actually come out and say, you know, are you still part of WWE?
It was a great time. It was a great time to be a wrestling fan. There's no doubt about that.
See, even
I was a, and believe me, I was a diehard defender of WWF, even with the bad attendance and the empty seats in Madison Square Garden in 95. I was totally staunch supporter of WWE.
So was I.
See, the Mike Johnson.
When the NWO started, I was switching channels.
I was watching it, but I also would get very defensive of WWF.
See,
the Mike Johnsons, the Tony Lewis's, the Wade Kellers, who actually has the nerve to put up some fans' remarks that, if Tommy Dreamer really lost, I mean, if Terry Funk really lost his eye, I'd give him mine. What are you, fucking geek? What are you, fucking retard? I mean, you actually take a retarded mark that says, if Terry Funk really lost his eye, I'd give him mine, and you actually post that as the lead title for your article.
How about your own family, for God's sake?
You know, to all those people, you need to remember something. 2001, 2000, 1999, 1998, even though ECW was selling out 4,000 and 5,000 seat buildings, they were still only getting 0.8s and 0.9s in the ratings on Spike TV on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. And granted, Friday night is not all that great. But the point is that ECW was never the size of WCW or the WWE. It was a small fucking company that you people felt that you were a big part of. And for all the people that were in shock yesterday, let me just say one thing very quick, because I know we're going to get a lot of calls tonight. And the cool thing is, since we're in New York, we're going to get a lot of people that went, probably went yesterday. Mike Johnson made a comment today saying, Big Show, oh, I expected the fans to shit all over the Big Show and, you know, Kurt Angle to a certain extent because they're all WWE guys. And he actually has the nerve to say, I turned around and I saw a whole different audience. I saw Undertaker shirts. I saw Steve Austin shirts. I saw this. I saw that. It's a whole different crowd. And I'm saying to myself, I mean, are you a fucking retard? I mean, this is a whole different crowd because the crowd from yesteryear felt that they were part of a renegade group. Straw Hat Guy and all these other guys probably feel fucking like they feel like they have egg in their face or felt betrayed the last couple of years because they found out that Vince owned it for the last couple of years or was funding it.
So yeah, I didn't see that guy yesterday.
No, every time Paul Heyman used to say fuck Vince McMahon towards the last couple of years and Taz would say this and these people would say that, I mean, WWE was funding it. So they probably feel betrayed. So for all the people from ECW of yesteryear, you all felt that you were part of a group that fucked WWE, fuck WCW, fuck the cartoon characters on TV. We want to see a beer drinking, you know, freak like the Sandman. We listen to Steve Austin's promo from 1995. You got the Sandman, you got the gangsters, Public Enemy. They tried to make it look like they were outcasts. And Mike Johnson and everybody else felt that they could be naked. All these outcast fans felt that they were literally, proverbially, running around naked in a nudist colony, figuring they could be 500 pounds, they could be 5'1" and walk like a fucking, you know, like a troll. You could have someone that's had body odor worse than fucking Umaga and Viscera after a hot, steamy match. I mean, these people were outcasts, and they felt that they were a renegade. So when they used to go around and say, fuck WWE, fuck politics, fuck this, fuck that, fuck. And Paul Heyman used to do those shoot comments. They can't do it no more. Because in the back pocket, WWE owns all this. And if Vince McMahon wants to show up on Tuesday Night Ones and do some stupid kiss my ass segment of Paul Heyman to try to get Paul Heyman over more as a face, or if he wants to
get one of his WWE undercard talent over on ECW.
Yeah, you know what?
He decides he wants Charlie Haas and they have beaten Rob Van Dam. That's what's going to happen.
Right. See, the bottom line is they did this back in the day. That's why Al Snow was in ECW towards his last run over there. There's people like that. And you know, but the point is, you know, the bottom line is WWE owns this. You're seeing tomorrow night a perfect example that even if we find out a month from now they're going to be their own brand, no more talk on TV about it. The point is, a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, if WWE thinks it can make some money, you'll have Ed show up on ECW again. You'll have Shelton Benjamin show up in ECW again. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you think in the back of your mind that this is a WWE company doing an NWO-like fashion, the only difference between this and the NWO is NWO did not have its own TV time slot and its own TV series. So
they were planning on that, though.
They were planning on it, and they didn't do it. And it's actually,
they did it for a little bit. They did it for a little bit with Saturday Night.
Right. Could somebody in the chat room tell this gentleman by the name of R that for some reason you probably have some technical difficulties. We have 500 slots open to listen to the show, and I don't think all 500 are used up right now, especially if you're the only person in the chat room saying you can't get into the show. You know, somebody tell him that it's probably technical difficulties. By the way, big shout out to everybody in the chat room tonight. I'm checking out some of your comments as we're talking. It's fucking great, man. I know we got to talk about a few other things, but can I read you one person's analysis of the pay-per-view? It's somebody in the chat room right now. I really he wants your comments on this, and I really found this entertaining. It's Mr. Saturday Morning from the chat room, and he says, and I quote, "I just watched One Night Stand 2 and needed to vent my frustration somewhere. The analogy that first came to my mind at the end of the show was the following. You start dating a chick who's ridiculously hot, like way out of your league. and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, especially because she seems to start liking you. You guys are having a good time, etc., etc., etc. So the time comes when you set the fucker, and you decide to do it all nice, rent an expensive hotel room, champagne, caviar, the whole bit. And you get there, she takes her clothes off, and she's ridiculously hot, just the whole bit. Then you get there, and as you imagine her to be, and she's terrible in bed. She uses teeth on your cock. She just sort of lies there when you fuck her. She doesn't flow with the rhythm, and it's just, I mean, while it's better than no sex at all, it could have been so much better with just a little bit of effort. That's what ECW felt like tonight. On paper, it looked like it had all sorts of potential, especially with the possible tricks we thought Paulie might pull out of his sleeve. And then when we plunked down our $40, the first time I've ever paid for a pay-per-view since last year's One Night Stand, it just disappoints. Sabu Ray could have been a lot better and had a cheap ending. Cena RVD's ending was so fucking transparent that it might as well come with a note on the bottom of the screen that said RVD will drop this title tomorrow night or very, very shortly. And the Foley Edge debacle, while bloody, was just kind of a giant mess. Hell, even the FBI versus Super Crazy seemed stiffed, and we know about all four are capable of so much better. So in conclusion, while ECW on paper is a hot chick with a smoking racket, when it comes down to it, she gives terrible head.
And, great analysis. Very good. Who said that?
This is Mr. Saturday Morning. And
very good.
And he finishes up by saying, and this is my favorite comment about the whole article. Part of my soapbox, but I can't fucking get enough of the show. Keep up the good work. So yeah.
That guy was right on the money, and how does he know my ex-wife? But
why she's
no,
not
that, no, he no, that's very good. Actually, that's a really good analysis. I agree to a point, but majority of what he says I agree with. I really do. I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was great, and last year's was much better.
Yeah, exactly. So
last year's very exciting. This year's not much excitement. No surprises this year. Too predictable. Like I said, we all expected there was, you know, expect the expected yesterday. That's
right.
That's what we got.
And you know what's scary? And this is the funny thing, too. For about 2 months when we found out they were doing this pay-per-view, I mean, what was all over the news? I mean, Meltzer wrote it. Everybody wrote it. That Tommy Dreamer and Paul Heyman were in charge of this pay-per-view. I mean, obviously, the last word, it goes to Vince. But the scary thing about it, and this is something that Mike Johnson did not write or anybody else wrote, if Paul Heyman and Tommy Dreamer wrote last night's pay-per-view, or if they wrote what's going to happen tomorrow, and this is what they wrote, you know, I think people need to be alarmed a little bit. It's not that Paul Heyman is not bad. It's just that Paul Heyman, what made him great in ECW, again, is the whole renegade thing. An outcast. He was fired from WCW, or he was let go because he was such a pain in the ass troublemaker and caused so much controversy. Paul Heyman is domesticated now. Tommy Dreamer is domesticated. They work for Vince McMahon. So they have to do, ultimately, what Vince McMahon does. If Paul Heyman wants to do an angle where they totally rip on the McMahon family, do skits, you don't think in the back of their mind they're saying to themselves, oh, I don't know, I mean, you know, we could still get fired over this.
Anthony, they were also on, you know, salary the last few years where they weren't paid based on how the house drew and Paul Heyman wasn't turning a profit, and they got a flat salary. They didn't have to worry about merch, you know what I mean? I mean, it was a different alligator to talk about. It's a different comparison when you're pushing your own company and when you're working for somebody else on a flat salary.
Hey, listen, if you could run a wrestling show tomorrow and knew you didn't have to pay the bills, you would do whatever the fuck you wanted.
I'd be a creative motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know?
You'd be a creative motherfucker.
But, you know, it's funny. It's worked in reverse for Paul Heyman. It was when his back was up against the wall, he was better.
Right.
Than being, like, you know, a more relaxed, quote-unquote, situation.
Right,
you know?
So I think a lot of people need to remember that, ultimately, Paul Heyman cannot be Paul Heyman completely because he has to answer to Vince. Think of ECW of yesteryear, how they used to totally destroy the WWE and WCW. And if he did that now, he'd be fucking fired in a minute.
But
and
you
what
know,
happens?
I was saying before, in fairness, though, like, with life, with change, with age, with years past, and then same thing in my job. You know, when I have more security, sometimes I get lackadaisical. I mean, I book bands for a living. And I'm probably more creative when my back is to the wall. When I'm stressed, I do my best work.
Right.
And it's when I get, like, lackadaisical, I know I'm locked into a contractual job. I probably ain't as good as I was, if that's proper English.
People,
But I'm just saying that sometimes you do. You lose, like, it's age with years being on the job. You lose your creative juice a little bit. You get almost like writer's block. You know what I mean? It's like promoter's block, booker's block. I've seen it happen to a lot of people. And I'm sure it's happened to, you know, it happens to Goodman. It happens to everybody. I mean, there's a great show, and then, like, for a year, people might say, shows this year haven't been, I'm not saying specifically him, but shows haven't been that great this year.
Right.
You know, like, I'll tell you the truth. When I used to go to Jack Savage shows 7-8 years ago, I thought they were pretty good. Then about 2 years later, I started going. I thought they were all the same shit. I didn't think there was any creativeness.
See, Paul
to
Heyman,
it at all.
Paul Heyman, listen, Paul Heyman influenced this business and has changed forever because of him. But Paul Heyman ain't a fucking god. Paul Heyman isn't perfect.
Just a man.
Tommy, he's just a man. And Tommy Dreamer is just a man. Tommy Dreamer is now a man with a family. So Tommy Dreamer has to abide by WWE standards, because if they don't, they'll be fired. And they're not the perfect employees either. I mean, it's not like, you know, they're the new Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe of Vince's clan that they could stay around for 40 years. What if they have a falling out with Vince? I mean, think about it.
Everyone eventually you do.
What, picture this. What happens if Paul Heyman comes up with a storyline? Or better yet, picture this. A year from now, 6 months from now, ECW is doing good, establish its own brand, WWE Raw starts getting a little stale. Vince McMahon calls up and says, hey, listen, we have to do a little storyline. You know, Raw shows up on ECW, causes a belt. You know, we then have, you know, ECW guys on Raw, and then we'll lead this to a pay-per-view or something. And then Paul Heyman turns around and says, no, well, listen, we agreed, you know, once this started, we're not going to have these interruptions from Raw or SmackDown anymore.
Yeah.
And then Vince McMahon says, listen, you know, I don't care what we agreed on. I have to make money for my company, and this is what we have to do. And then they have a falling out, and Paul Heyman gets suspended. Paul Heyman gets fired. What then? Who's going to show up on Raw to take over for ECW? He doesn't own the fucking company. So it's not like he could be there until it closes down.
And in fairness, the same thing holds for if ECW starts failing, and McMahon just feels like, I'm not that into it anymore. Let it just fold.
You know what I'm saying? You don't think that if Paul Heyman is a falling out, if WWE thinks that they could bring Eric Bischoff in and take over ECW and beat a monster heel,
well,
you don't think that he won't do that? I mean, come on. People need – and this is why, again, if you've been following the show for the last 6 weeks, nobody out there should be upset right now. Nobody out there should be nervous. Nobody out there should be angry. Nobody out there should say that, you know, hey, you know, I never thought of that. Because if you've been following what we've been saying the last 6 weeks, you were prepared for this. And that's why I'm enjoying what I'm seeing on TV. It's a storyline. All it is a storyline. And I'm enjoying it. I have no problem with it. I was a little disappointed that they couldn't put more ECW guys on the pay-per-view yesterday. I mean, Joey, I don't know your feelings about that. By the way, some people were asking why was Trinity in the middle of the ring yesterday. Joey, could you tell everybody the intelligent reason why she was in the ring?
Because she's going to be in ECW.
Thank you.
Why was Kid Cash in the middle of the ring?
Because he's going to be part of the Pitbulls, the new Pitbulls.
Was Mikey Whipwreck in part of
this? Well, because he's going to be part of ECW also. You know, just because they didn't compete in the pay-per-view yesterday doesn't mean that, oh, hey, why was Bill Alfonso in the ring if he wasn't mad? They put the people you saw in the ring are people that are going to be in ECW.
Trinity and all.
Yeah,
that.
Trinity's going to be part of the new ECW. I mean, what the fuck? Who is Jazz going to wrestle? Herself? She's going to wrestle God? I mean, Jazz needs an opponent.
You know, not for nothing, but the women in ECW really didn't have a women's division. Does it mean that they have a women's division now?
No, but you have to have your occasional match here and there.
Oh, of course. I'm saying, like, everybody's like, you know, there are not enough women there, but they never really had a women's division.
I was thinking Francine was going to be with the new Pitbulls, but I guess maybe Trinity's going to be with them now.
Yeah, I would think so. Francine will be on shortly. By the way, big shout-out to Francine. I actually had the pleasure of hanging out with her, and the girl is a sweetheart. And I can tell you this much, it's about fucking time that she actually made it, you know, into World Wrestling Entertainment, because that's what this actually is. Trying to think what else. Joel Gertner, I don't believe, was there. Somebody's asking in the chat room. You know what else is interesting? Notice how they didn't even bring in Tammy Lynn Sitch. And I really feel bad for her.
Go.
No, no, I feel bad for her. No, no, you people shit on her last week. I actually defended her.
I didn't shit on her.
Well, you laughed.
I always laugh.
Hey, and, you know, for the people in the chat room asking about Daphne and ECW, I actually spoke to her today, and we were supposed to have her on tonight, but she's actually working, so she couldn't be on tonight. We're going to try to have her on next Monday night live. I could do a recorded interview with her anytime I want. I speak to her online or on the phone, you know, frequently. But the point is that the rumors, no, there's a reason I said this. The rumors that WWE is looking to bring her in as part of his vampire gimmick is bullshit. They have not contacted her. They have not expressed any interest in her. The only way they're going to express interest in Daphne being in the new ECW is if you fucking people out there listening start going into message boards, writing about her, going into chat rooms, start talking about her. You got to get a fucking name out there.
Yeah, I can't do it by myself, people.
Yeah, Mr. Saturday Morning, great comments on yeah, exactly. Great comments on ECW, but I can't say what she does for a living. You know, maybe she don't want people to know. So,
you know, the thing is that after reflecting on the show last night, I actually don't feel the same way that I did last night. I think that if you really look at last year's ECW pay-per-view, there was just as much WWE influence as last year's as there was this year's.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there could have even been more because of the whole, you know, JBL and the rest of the Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, but that was a funny interaction.
It was a funny interaction, but it was pretty much the same thing. I mean, if you really look at it.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I personally felt that it was pretty much the same. I just felt that it was a decent show with great wrestling that we haven't seen in a while.
More talent on last year's show.
There was more talent, but I think that it was just as much as to expect as from
the problem
from last year's. I think that the lack of surprise was missing from this show.
Oh, definitely lack of surprise.
I think there should have been a test run in. There should have been something. And as a matter of fact, what is that rumor, Funker, that Big Show was supposed to take on Spike Dudley?
That's not true. Listen. You know what that was? What you people read all weekend that Lance Storm was going to be there and Mikey Whipwreck's going to be in the corner of Tajiri and all this other shit that you heard. You know what you people read? You people read hunches of what people thought they were going to see on the show. And let me give a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of a wake-up for some people out there. When WWE pulls a pay-per-view shirt, 3 days before the pay-per-view airs, because it has on the shirt more matches that were never announced, that is a telltale sign that they do not want fans to know all the matches beforehand, because they might feel that if they're looking at it on paper and those are your five matches, people might turn and say, that shit ain't worth $40. I don't like John Cena, so I don't want to pay $40 to see RVD take it from him, and then he gets it back. You know, or even the opposite. We thought Sabu was going to take it, and
maybe you don't like Rob Van Dam.
Right. When Rob Van Dam, if you notice Paul Heyman's promo tonight, the fans were actually booing Rob Van Dam.
The fans were booing Van Dam.
Yeah. So when WWE pulls a shirt 3 days before a pay per view, they don't want fans knowing about those matches. And the bottom line.
Can I also give another reality check when you're done?
Yeah, well, all I wanted to say on top of that is that when that shirt was pulled, people started saying, oh, maybe these matches won't happen. No, they fucking designed the shirt, printed about 10,000 or 100,000 of them, put it on ShopZone just to change the matches. Are you a fucking retard? They put that on ShopZone, and they were afraid that on paper, people wouldn't order the pay-per-view. So what they did was they pulled it, and by them pulling it, they got more pay-per-view buys. You know how? Idiots. And certain websites saying, oh, Big Show might take on Spike Dudley. Idiots and websites saying, oh, the Impact players are going to reunite. Oh! Or they did.
I still want to know who's the goal who talks like that.
I don't know. I don't even know. But the point is, by them pulling that shirt, created all this stupid nonsense on the internet from marks hunching what matches were going to be. Come on, Bill Alfonso's backstage, and you got Geeky Mike Johnson running on the internet. Spoiler! The ECW pay-per-view on June 11th, Bill Alfonso will be in the corner of Sabu and RVD.
Anthony, you sound like Adam Baldwin doing the mimic.
I'm sorry, but I don't blame anybody for assumption whatsoever. I mean, if you find out that Bill Alfonso's backstage, you would assume that he would come out with Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, but Missy Hyatt could be back. backstage. I mean, that doesn't
Yeah, but there's a difference. Bill Alfonso, Rob Van Dam, they're still alive. They're still there. They make sense. And, you know,
I thought that Joey, we're talking about
maybe Rob didn't want Bill.
We're talking about news websites. We're not talking about message boards and chat rooms. We're talking about people that actually try to charge money for news, and they're basing on assumptions.
I understand that, but I don't blame people for it, or the callers or listeners or whatever, for assuming that things should happen when they don't.
Do you blame Canada?
Yes, I do blame Canada. But I will say this about another reality check, and that's something that we talked about a few weeks ago too, and something that we actually forgot about. Mm-hmm. The fact that tomorrow night is the ECW debut and it is on Sci-Fi and whatever, but let's not forget that it is a SmackDown show, and it will be in front of a WWE crowd, pretty much probably the same crowd that we saw tonight. So who knows what kind of reaction those guys are going to get tomorrow? Because I doubt that Just Incredible or Bulls Mahoney, even though they're great stars in ECW, they're not going to garner exactly. This is a SmackDown crowd.
Right. You know, Joey,
it's going to be weird, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be very weird. And I think that's why they put Edge, and that's why they put John Cena, and that's why they're doing that.
Fucking
it's going to be
smart.
Weird adjustment for all this.
You know why you're so fucking smart? Because we're supposed to believe tomorrow that this is an ECW show.
Right.
When John Cena comes out, and this is what if there was anything that we could talk about in the show tonight for 2 hours, this is the one thing more important I want everybody out there to remember tomorrow. When you watch ECW tomorrow and John Cena comes out, as he comes out, on the back of your mind, I want you to think of the Hammerstein Ballroom. And how John Cena was getting shitted out of the building almost to a riot.
Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second before you finish. I fell asleep during not because of that, but I just fell asleep in general. What kind of reaction did he get tonight?
Actually, I'm getting to that. Actually, I'll get to it in a minute. So if this is an ECW show, imagine tomorrow when he comes out and the crowd all of a sudden goes from overrated, same old shit, shitting on this guy till no tomorrow, and then tomorrow,
John Cena swallows.
You're going to hear girls tomorrow getting wet. You're going to hear kids screaming for John Cena. You're going to come on when you wait. Listen, when you saw John Cena comes out, who chants? Who chants?
There's guys who chant. I see guys buying a shirt all the time.
Absolutely. There was a lot of guys who signed tonight.
Listen, I don't know too many guys.
Yeah, that's a misconception that just his fans are just little.
Yeah,
Is it safe to say that 80% of the people that cheer John Cena are either girls or kids?
First of all, there's not 80% women there, so that cannot be the case.
let's face it. I mean, we know the demographic for ECW women is 10%. WWE crowd is probably 30%.
Right,
This is not going to coincide with anything, but I knew somebody that went to the ECW show last night, very personally, as a matter of fact, and she told me that there was massive amount of kids there.
I saw a lot of little children.
There was a lot of kids there last night, and I thought about today when McMahon cut that promo about how Triple H pedigreed him with his ass out, and, you know, he should respect the children that are in the arena. I just started laughing my ass off. Because there was children, and I understand that there was a mother that actually said out loud, "I can't believe I brought my children to this." Because if you saw the show last night, it wasn't very pleasant.
Right. Especially you got to give Edge a lot of credit, Dry Hump and Beulah.
Well, what about all the swallows chants and the fire and the barbed wire and Terry Funk losing his eyeball?
You know what?
Not to be a fucking old fuddy-duddy, but I wouldn't have bought a six-year-old or something.
There was massive amount of children in that show. I would actually try to do something like a movie theater where if you're not, you know, legal age for that kind of a thing,
right?
You know, you shouldn't bring them.
You know what makes no sense
to
me? I know it's no big deal because we know what they said, but you know what doesn't make sense to me? It doesn't make sense so we could see blood, barbed wire, fire, and all this crazy violence, but you have to bleep out the word bullshit.
I know.
I mean, what the fuck? I mean,
they bleeped out Edge's bullshit, but I'm hearing you suck cock and all this stuff.
I think the fans have more freelance to say whatever the hell they want.
Listen, I
got
to give major props to every fan that went to that show yesterday because they're the ones, honestly, the best part of last night were the fans. And when you watch tomorrow's show, you're not going to get that crowd.
No, you're not going to get that crowd. I think it's in Jersey, but you're still not going to get that crowd.
Angle versus Orton in the chat
room. Also, that's a one-shot deal.
That crowd is going to be waiting for Booker T versus Lashley tomorrow.
Yeah, Angle versus Orton in the chat room. Edge at the end was totally uncalled for. I don't know if you realize this. The entire pay-per-view was storyline-driven. It was this whole pay-per-view, and this is the reason why you didn't see a lot of people performing last night. They had the people perform that's going to extend the storylines. John Cena versus Edge.
I thought he was talking about when John Cena dry-humped Bueller.
No, he's talking about Edge at the end when he speared
John Cena. I thought that was a little unnecessary when he started pumping her. I mean, I don't know how Tommy Dreamer felt about that one.
I just know
that I'm loving Edge's character more and more.
I love Edge's character, but
John,
if I was Dreamer, I think
Tommy
I'd be a little
Tommy Dreamer.
Edge probably is banging Bueller now. So.
Tommy Dreamer did storylines where Bueller and Kimono Walea were lesbians.
That's a little bit different.
And also, you have to put, you know, I mean, there's been other angles that, you know, they're not beneath throwing their wives under the train.
Listen, a lot of women in ECW.
Hey, I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, as a person, you know.
A lot of the women in ECW banged multiple men that were in ECW. I have seen firsthand, behind the scenes, you know, some of the promiscuity that goes around. I always tell people, you know, for these young, I do a lot of talking to young, up-and-coming wrestlers that are in training. Some people call them ticket sellers around here, and they get googly-eyed over a valet that's in wrestling. And I tell them all the time, never have a relationship, never fall in love with someone in the wrestling business. Because,
you know, that goes for the same thing in the prison where I work.
Yeah.
The prison. That actually doesn't sound right when you think about it.
The women's prison.
Oh, well, they're all dykes. You see 10,000 Beth Phoenixes
in there. Some of them like dick.
Yeah, well, I know. But what are they going to use? They're going to use a fucking, you know, a spoon. Pretend it's a dick.
Oh, God.
I mean, come on.
Oh, my Lord. What the hell is this?
No, well, it's jail. What are you going to use for a dick? A plunger? They don't have fucking tools in jail. When you're in jail, what do you have? You have a fucking cement thing, some food utensils?
You know, we've learned a couple of things about the Funker. He knows about whorehouses, and now he knows about jails.
Yeah, I love how you gave us that overall view on whorehouses.
Explicit view on whorehouses,
scary.
By the way.
Let me take you on a ride through the whorehouse fantasy tour.
It was scary because I really...
Well, fasten your seatbelts, Joey and Kevin.
I found out we had callers in the Corona area.
Oh my God.
Some guy left a message.
Yeah, I worked in Jackson Heights for 10 years. Plenty of them.
You know, it's funny. This guy lives in Corona. He's like, "Yo, man, I'm Puerto Rican, and I don't appreciate what you said on your show." And then he leaves his name, Pete. I mean, not for nothing. If you're Puerto Rican and you're in Corona and you're defending what I said last week about the smelly Spaniards going to $20 whorehouses, then you know what? Show your ethnic roots. Call yourself Pedro. Don't call yourself Pete? I mean, come on. Think about it. The guy's defending his Spanish heritage and what I said last week about the whorehouses and the smelly Spaniards, and he says, "I'm Pete from Corona."
The fact that you call Spaniards is hilarious.
Well, because I don't like using racial epithets. We joke around.
Oh, of course not. That's part of the whole thing. I'll make fun of, like, crippled people. I'll make fun of JR.
You know what's the coolest, though? Over half of our listeners are of ethnic background, meaning blacks, Puerto Ricans, you know,
that's why we're the Minority Report.
Not too many Chinamen, but you know, we get a lot of ethnics, but to be honest, you say Chinamen? Chinamen. I'm not going to say that other word that rhymes with skating
Asian?
Rink. No, it rhymes with
Asian.
Skating. No, it's Asian.
If anything,
okay.
I think you're saying the wrong terminologies.
I don't know. You know why? Because
black,
how often?
African American,
how
Asian,
often?
Latin,
yeah,
Latin,
first of all, first
Latinos.
Of all, who? First of all, nobody uses Chinaman, even if they're trying to be.
No, I say Asian, and I say Latino.
Or Spaniard.
Joey.
I mean,
yeah, you say Latino.
I am Italian.
What are you, Russell Crowe? I mean,
Italian. I live in Howard Beach. I have met, and my family is very good
yeah,
friends.
Yeah, Anthony grew up in Howard Beach. You have to forgive him.
Where I come from,
they're called spicks, niggers, Jews, Japs.
Well, I live in Howard Beach.
I'm serious. That's where you would hear in this neighborhood.
Yeah, we're Italian, though. Haven't you ever been called a swamp guinea?
No, actually.
How about a mountain wop?
No, not at all.
I've been called
neck fat. No, but I live in Howard Beach. I live three blocks where Nunzio, a.k.a. Little Guido's house is, and I live about five blocks where John Gotti, God rest his soul, lives. I've met Victoria Gotti.
John Gotti was like
Bruiser Brody, Anthony. Calm down.
You want to laugh? I'll tell you a funny story about John Gotti. I'll tell you a funny story about John Gotti. It's a true story, and this is actually an argument.
Is it wrestling related?
No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. This is no. Listen, maybe
I remember when John Gotti fought Dick Murdoch.
No, well, you know what?
That's like the Hacksaw thing.
Well, I'll tell you the story.
By the way, what happened to Hacksaw's left breast?
You know what happened to Edge's breast, period? Edge's chest is as flat as a washboard. I don't know if you noticed
that. It's not as bad as Kurt Angle's arms.
Hey, man, I could care less about Edge's chest. I'm worried about Lita's. What the hell are you looking at Edge's chest for?
Edge, you know what? Lita's fucking forehead. I mean, you know, I don't know who's designing her hair, but I don't know. Maybe Draj's wife is now fucked up also.
I'm serious.
Look at Lita. I could put both hands over her forehead. The Big Show could put his hand on her forehead. Anyway, getting back to my thing, all right? What I was saying before is that I live in Howard Beach. And how many times in my lifetime do I have to address a Chinaman or a Puerto Rican or a Spaniard? I'm not good with the ethnics over there. I don't normally have to say those
things.
I'm
not good with the ethnics over there.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's,
you figure at 56, you'd know better at this point.
You've been
34 for 8 years.
All right, well, anyway, here's a true story. All right, here's a true story. Back in early 90s, my father still owns this huge deli in Howard Beach, but back in the early 90s, John Gotti was acquitted for one of the first times for his racketeering charges. And they called
God rest his soul.
Well, listen, no, I'm telling you a story. And what happened was that, you know, he called the deli, my father's store, and they wanted a whole bunch of catering delivered for a party. So at the time, you know, I used to work part-time in there too. So my father says, hey, you know, could you deliver this stuff? Maybe get one of your friends you could deliver with too. One of my closest friends, his name is Joe Bonanno. His grandfather is the infamous Joseph Bonanno. So I called my friend Joey and I said, hey, Joey, you know, you want to come down, you know, go by John Gotti's house, deliver some catering, you know, because I wanted an Italian to go with me and someone that actually dresses a little classy or whatever. And I said to him, I said, when we go down there, you know, just wear something nice, you know, out of respect. And this guy turns around and says to me, he says, wait a minute, why do I have to dress up? What do you mean out of respect? Why do I have to show this man respect? And we had this huge falling out because he didn't understand that even though he didn't know the guy personally, that if you're going to show up at his residence and you're going to deliver something, if you're going to meet him, to at least, you know, look a little classy and show some respect. So I don't know if you agree with me with that, but that's actually a true story. I ended up having to find somebody else. Yeah. So actually,
when did he wrestle Dick Murdoch?
I don't know. But anyway, you want to take some calls?
Yes.
We want people that actually attended the pay-per-view last night to call in.
We didn't even talk about a great Raw. I thought the Raw was awesome.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Raw.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it.
Let's, you know what? All right, we're preparing everybody that's listening live. 866-352-8485. Right now it is 12:22. We will take calls at exactly 12:30. So you could prepare yourself. Anyway, talk about Raw tonight.
Raw was really good. I thought, aside from the Just Incredible Invasion, I'm sorry, I tried to say that with a straight face. I thought it was really good, man. I really enjoyed the Johnny Nitro thing, the Shelton Benjamin thing.
I missed the Johnny Nitro thing. What happened there?
They set up a triple threat match between Nitro, Benjamin, and Carlito. I thought that was really well done. I think Benjamin was actually... it was Nitro that won because of interference. By the way, Nitro botched a huge spot at the end. Embarrassing thing for Johnny Nitro. But Shelton Benjamin was really cool on the commentator's booth. He actually had a lot of personality tonight. So I thought.
Is that true? Chris Masters is off the road indefinitely?
Yeah, he's suspended for the steroids.
Yeah,
they never made the announcement for it, but he's suspended.
And Johnny
right now.
Nitro's taking his spot, is what I heard. Is that true, Anthony?
I didn't hear anything about him taking his spot.
Nitro's getting a spot.
Yeah, you know what? Johnny Nitro's definitely got a future in this business, and Johnny Nitro's got the look, and him and Molina is great.
He does. He's a good-looking guy. Right. He's got good moves. He's got a great valet. He's a throwback.
Yeah, the guy's got a good career ahead of him. But
I personally think he should still come out with the Nitro music.
Right, but people do need to remember how long he's been in the wrestling business. The problem is that if you put him too high in a pedestal and then see what you saw tonight, a lot of people are going to, you know, get to
him. Yeah, I mean, it was a cool finisher, by the way. It was very good, but he botched it very, very badly.
But, you know, in fairness, we saw, if you remember, not too long ago, Shelton had an off night where he botched two or three moves.
Absolutely. I'm not blaming Nitro. I love
Nitro.
Look
what happened to Charlie Haas last week with Lillian Garcia.
And that was another thing that happened tonight. Charlie Haas, to pay, obviously, for his sins, he got beat up by Viscera, which I thought was really ridiculous.
I like Charlie Haas's new look, but I don't like where he's going. He's like a non-vet or something. Yeah, he looks like a G.I. Joe kind of thing.
He's got the whole...
Lillian Garcia, she's got to be... they got to put her in that bikini issue.
Oh, my God, yeah. I know.
It's getting ridiculous.
And by the way,
I got to see some of that.
So do I.
And you know, with the Divas match, not for nothing.
Another thing that happened tonight that was really great, and I know that you don't like him, Kevin, but I thought tonight's promo was really good. I don't know if you saw it, but it was between Mick Foley and Ric Flair. Finally, the issues are starting to come out. They're real issues anyway, and I thought it was a great promo, and they're going to actually have a throwback 2 out of 3 falls match at Vengeance. Actually, Vengeance is looking pretty good.
I personally don't like 2 out of 3 falls matches because the art...
What?
Well, the art of 2 out of 3 falls matches has been lost because they about 99% of 2 out of 3 falls matches always results in one person winning and then the other person winning, and it goes to the final and third fall. It takes away the suspension of disbelief that someone could possibly win 2 matches in a row. That's why when they do 2 out of 3 falls matches on the indies, and they'll say, oh, the first one will be no holds barred. The second one will be tables, ladders, and chairs, and the third one will be a cage match. Well, you know that they're not going to put the gimmick for the third one and then not have it. So it takes away the suspension and disbelief. Now it's more of, oh, well, who's going to win the match first? Oh, you know, since Foley won the first fall, now I know Ric Flair is definitely going to win the second fall.
The only thing I like about the 2 out of 3 falls matches as far as recent memory is the fact that they're very quick. And back in the day, you know, especially tag team 2 out of 3 falls matches, those were some, like, hour-long marathons of wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing from the 2 out of 3 falls matches. You know, the recent ones, you know, you get a pinfall, like, in 4 minutes, and then the other guy gets a pinfall, like, in 4 minutes, and then, like, maybe the last fall is probably 10 minutes, and that's really, you know, almost 20 minutes. That's not a three falls match. The basis is it's supposed to be going long.
Right.
But obviously Foley is not going to be able to do that. So, but I do like the angle, and I did like the way it came off on television. Ric Flair was actually a pretty good surprise.
What about John Cena, Joe? Did he get a good reaction?
John Cena actually got a reaction. I mean, when he beat the shit out of Balls Mahoney, and I mean really chaired him almost to death, thought it was a really good reaction. It wasn't the best reaction, but it was a really good one. And that's probably what he's going to get tomorrow.
Right.
I think it's going to be around that same area.
Is he going to be a sympathetic character to other people around the country who saw
absolutely.
That and felt bad for him?
Absolutely.
See, the only way I could see John Cena get it. See, John Cena.
Because don't you think most like, and you don't have to be a mark or even like a dumb fan or a smart fan, but don't you think a lot of people are going to see that as, Cena kind of got ripped off?
That was actually signed to the audience that Cena got screwed.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
and obviously the biggest thing tonight was the return of my favorite thing, and that's D-Generation X. I thought that was the best.
I missed this shit.
The audience, I think somebody actually left a message in our local hotline. That audience reaction was bigger than a lot of things that we've seen in a long time. I mean, that was explosive.
Right.
It was awesome. Shawn Michaels actually... I didn't think that Shawn Michaels could move that well, but he actually ran down to the ramp, saved everybody. They did the pose, the suckets, and all that stuff, and it was just awesome. I thought it was great.
Now, who are they fighting at Vengeance?
They're going to have a 2-on-5 match. And by the way, another reality check for everybody. I know as soon as this happened, everybody was like, well, who's going to be the other members? There's not going to be any members of the...
Yeah, there was rumors that Waltman was going to be involved, but I guess that's not going to happen.
If that is the case, that'll be the only one. But I'm telling you that Shawn and Triple H will be riding on their own, just like they did when they first created the X.
Right.
Well, they had China.
Yep.
All right, let's take some calls. 866-352-8485. And we'll see what people thought about the pay-per-view. So,
yeah.
Phone
BX,
lines are
baby.
Open. Let's see who calls in. And by the way, there was a lot of people in the chat room ripping on Chris Cash for what he did last week. Honestly, I have yet to hear an apology for Chris Cash. Personally,
what do you do? I'm
well,
missing everything.
If you remember the caller from last week, he got booted out of the chat room because
he was
blocking our show.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that.
I thought
he did something else. Okay.
So, hey, you're on with the Minority Report. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
How you doing?
Chris
Cash?
No.
You guys haven't discussed anything about last Wednesday, the WWE versus ECW, and that was a great show.
Well, you know what? Let's actually discuss
really
it right now. Joey,
I think the commentary was the best part of that show.
Commentary was sick that night, and the punches looked pretty decent, too. They were taking stiff shots.
I got
that little segment was longer than the Taz Lawler match from last
I got news for you. If, in hindsight, if they would have told me, you know what? Well, if they would have added the Dreamer match from last night and put that on last Wednesday and told me that was a pay-per-view, I probably would have ordered it. I actually was more entertained with last week's show than the pay-per-view.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, the commentary.
The show was actually better than the pay-per-view, definitely.
And you know what? It's something that we didn't actually discuss is the fact that when Taz went on the broadcast booth last night, he was still doing the Taz from SmackDown, and that's got to stop immediately.
Yeah, I agree.
Taz was horrendous. I mean,
the only thing that I didn't like last week, and Joey, we talked about it on the hotline right after it happened, and yeah, this might be nitpicking to some people out there, but if last week's match between Sabu and John Cena is ECW rules, why would the referee call for the fucking bell when the Big Show came in?
Well, I think your explanation was actually pretty good, Funker. That was a WWE referee. He probably didn't understand the rules. We're doing the quotations right now. And, you know, he probably just did it in the moment.
Yeah, for everybody out there, and I'm answering my own
question.
That's
my explanation, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, for everybody out there, I'm answering my own question. But if you think about last week's show and you say to yourself, you know, if this is ECW rules, why the fuck did the referee call for the bell? Well, my explanation last week after thinking about it was, well, the WWE wants us to think that the referee had a lapse in judgment. He made a bad call, but the referee's decision is final, and there's nothing we can do about it. So that's absolutely why they kept the match the way it did.
Can I mention something?
Sure, by all means.
All right, I know you guys discussed about how they, you know, they're accepting Kurt Angle when he showed up on ECW.
Right.
Yes.
They're accepting Big Show just as well.
Yes, Big Show got a standing ovation last night.
I'm surprised about that, too, actually.
I was actually really surprised about that. Big Show actually got a really big ovation last night.
Yeah, I was surprised.
You know what? He threw Orton over the ring, and we also need to remember something. Last week's show had a nice ECW crowd in there, but it still was a WWE crowd. And why wouldn't the WWE crowd cheer the Big Show? Last night, if you watched the pay-per-view closely when the Big Show came out, when he started beating up on the guys, he actually was getting a decent amount of boos. He only got cheered after he nailed that shot on Tony Mamaluke.
They're accepting him. It's like they're slowly him the same way they're accepting Angle, and he's, you know, he's definitely not going to get over on Raw if he just continues over there.
Exactly. I think it was a combination. When the Big Show came out last night, it wasn't really boos. It was mostly silence. They were waiting for, you know, the kind of reaction that, you know, they didn't know what to expect.
Right.
But I think they did accept
Big Show.
I think they took a gamble with the Big Show.
Exactly.
When they powwowed who they're going to give to ECW outside of Kurt Angle, who's the other top guy going over?
Obviously, Kurt Angle was going to get over because Kurt Angle's
the new Mike Awesome.
People appreciate it. Huh?
He's like the new Mike Awesome in a sense. Like they can do with Big Show, like what they did with Mike Awesome. Just
you know what?
Come in there and destroy him.
You know what?
It's
going to
be a combination of Mike Awesome and 911.
You know what? I actually look at Big Show more being a 911. I could see ECW having a match with young guys, and believe it or not, I'll give break something for the people that listen in that know him locally. Timmy Arson, good friend of mine that is an indie wrestler here. He went to Puerto Rico not too long ago. He actually met with WWE. They gave him a tryout match. Dreamer told him to go to Puerto Rico, get himself cut up a little bit, drop about 10, 15 pounds, and then we'll take a look at you again. They actually called him up last week and said, come down to Raw, come down to SmackDown. We want to check you out again. And he actually said to me that they have interest in possibly bringing him into, you know, OVW or the other group, and then maybe ultimately, if everything works out, he'll end up in ECW. So what I see happening is OVW guys that we don't really know much about, Deep South, doing an ECW match. And if they absolutely suck, if the fans really chant boring, I think you could have the Big Show come out and beat shit out of them. I think that's why they did what they did yesterday. I think what they did yesterday, which was to make Big Show more like 911, to plant the seed that if something isn't going well in the ring, all of a sudden Big Show's music will hit, and he'll just beat up everybody in the ring.
So, well, the fact is that they accepted him, though. That was the bottom line.
Well, they accepted him for now, but, you know,
If they accepted him with that crowd, I think that as far as the other shows, I'm sure he'll be doing pretty good.
Yeah. So.
All right, I said my piece. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris, have a nice night.
Thanks a lot.
You too, guys. Thanks,
Chris. Yeah. I mean, realistically, I really don't see Big Show doing anything else but a 911 gimmick. I really don't.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, that's fine. That's fine for the Big Show, actually.
If the guy was going to still do matches, then the guy wouldn't have came out and just beat up people for no reason. Why did he beat up... why would Super Crazy try to take out Big Show if Big Show was beating up his opponents? Think about that for a moment. I mean, that was the telltale sign to me that since Big Show was, you know, he was non-biased as far as he just beat up everybody, shows me that that's how they're going to use him in WWE. So.
Yeah, and I think that's just fine for the Big Show, actually. Yep. I think Kurt Angle's going to be the real, you know, main guy there. And I think that, you know, Kurt Angle's perfect, man. I mean, he's the wrestling machine. He's going to be awesome there.
866-352-8485. Open up the phone lines again right now. And, you know, we're going to end up with wrestling 4 days a week. Got WWE on Raw on Monday, as Pac says in the chat room, ECW on Tuesday. We have WCW on Friday and TNA on Thursday. So 4 days a week. So remember the times we only had two? Now we got four. So,
yes.
Yep. All right. I'm opening phone lines up right now, 866-352-8485. You saw the pay-per-view yesterday, whether it's live or in the pay-per-view. Tell us what you thought about it.
I open up the phone lines like Buell and McKillicuddy last
yep.
night.
Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, buddy. It's Shaggy.
Hey, Shaggy. What's up?
Not much, man.
Hey, you're a little celebrity now because we actually had a record number of listeners for last week's show and really enjoyed the little opening. So,
yeah, man, because I've been pimping you out on all my sites.
I appreciate that.
Not a problem, man. I appreciate the product.
Hey, thank you. Hey, we're still a work in progress. It's just going to get better. We're just treading water right now and just trying to iron out little kinks here and there, but it's only going to get better.
So, of course.
So what's going on?
Oh, by the way, man, I was right. Angle versus Orton did suck ass.
You know,
I didn't think it.
You know, here's
the thing that guts me, okay? If you're going to try to put Randy Orton over, man, this him being a pussy in the ring has got to stop.
Well, you know what WWE would want you to think? He wasn't being a pussy yesterday, so to speak. He was being methodical.
Yeah,
he was being methodical.
What about the fact that Kurt Angle's going to wrestle him at Vengeance?
I don't like that at all.
You know what? If ECW's going to be a separate brand, let it be a separate brand, man. Enough of this intermixing crap. This is like the Alliance all over again.
Yep. If ECW...
It's like interleague baseball play. You want to see it, but enough after a while.
If ECW was the ECW of yesteryear as far as the thinking or the aura, how WWE wants us to believe it to be, then Paul Heyman would have immediately melted that belt, or RVD would have taken that spinner, ripped it off, and flung it in the crowd like a frisbee.
Exactly.
You know, to keep it the way it is. I mean, you know, could you pick?
I still don't like that whole title situation. I'm agreeing with Kevin on this one. I think first of all that the WWE title should not have been the title to change hands, and secondly, I think that first of all, you know, you won the WWE Championship and you're going to crown it the ECW Championship. Then why have a title match of Vengeance if it's the ECW title? You should have no more rights.
Well,
haven't we been through this before? But then we came up on another belt for Triple H.
Yeah.
I personally see a rematch between Rey Mysterio and Sabu also happening.
I hope so, man.
I mean,
that's the one match I would love to see again.
We have been shitting on Rey Mysterio's title reign, and I think we were justified in doing so.
One of the worst.
I think the powers that be in WWE are shitting on Rey Mysterio.
Oh, I agree. Yes, I agree. I personally don't think Rey should have gotten the belt in the first place, but I will say this. Yeah. After watching Rey's match yesterday, the moves that he hit and actually the balls to take that DDT, he actually showed me more as a heavyweight champion yesterday than John Cena showed for... See, this is the thing.
Also, the outfit. I mean, I know it's a minute detail, but the outfit was also pretty cool. It was old Mysterio. It felt like a real Mysterio Jr.
I understand some people saying, you know what, he marked out for the fans a little bit by wearing the ECW mask and they probably turned on him a little bit more. I got news for you. When Rey first came into ECW... You know, he actually wore an ECW...
but as Anthony, even Taz says, he was there for a cup of coffee, which is true.
Exactly.
I understand that, but...
He wasn't there that long at all. Was Rey Mysterio there for 5 months?
I think he's
the only match I remember him having is the one against Psychosis.
Right.
I think he's more of a WWE guy, if you really look at it.
He's really a WCW guy, when you think about it.
No, he actually spent more time in WWE, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
all right. I'm actually going to cause a little controversy here because if it weren't for Eddie Guerrero dying, Rey Mysterio never would have got the belt. They were eager to take it on somebody,
and you ain't going to
give it to Chavo. I wouldn't give Chavo a freaking chair to sit in.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, not for nothing.
And that'll be the feud, by the way.
I'm happy for Rey.
Oh God.
I'm happy for Rey, but you know what? It's not going to happen now. maybe in a shoot interview, maybe 5 years from now, somebody out there has to have the balls to say to Rey Mysterio, Rey, how does it feel knowing that the only reason why you got the heavyweight title is because Eddie Guerrero died?
And Batista was hurt.
Yeah, Batista was hurt. He didn't get it on his own merits. There's a reason
why. The bottom line is I think that Booker T will take the title at the Great American Bash, and that'll be the end of the
story. You know what? I'll be happy. Even though Booker T is, you know, turned into, they treated him like a fucking piece of flounder the last 5 years or 4 years.
Well, Booker T's been getting a monster push lately, and I think
he will
main event with Batista.
They have to have something exciting, especially since those guys had a real life fight behind the scenes. So,
oh yeah. You don't want to have something exciting.
I'm telling you, that's going to happen, and then Chavo's going to feud with Mysterio.
You know what? God. I almost see something.
When are they just going to release?
Then again,
Chavo,
let's remember Matt Hardy and Edge. That wasn't exactly that great.
Yeah, I almost see like a family feud type theme for SummerSlam. I mean, I'm a little surprised they're doing Ric Flair, Mick Foley now, because you see like Ric Flair, Mick Foley, Batista, Booker T, Chavo Rey Mysterio. You know, it's almost like there's like internal feuds. If you notice, the internal feuds, like they're trying to grasp the shoot aspect of like the... So, who knows? Okay. But you know what? One thing I want to say, and I wanted to say this since yesterday, yesterday's pay-per-view is a perfect example of the wrong heel heat. John Cena's heel heat yesterday, I know younger fans are not going to understand this, and I know some John Cena fans out there are going to absolutely disagree, but I think the diehard, the smart wrestling fans are going to agree with me. We've always said it on the hotline for years now. There's heel heat. There's face heat, and then there's a type of heat that we don't want to see you on TV. Triple H, for a period of time, got heel heat. Then there was a period of time that he got the heat that we didn't want to see him on TV. What John Cena got yesterday was not the heel heat.
Get the fuck off TV.
Right. He got the heat that he got yesterday was not heel heat because of him being a heel. He got heat because the fans told him that he doesn't belong as heavyweight champion. When you chant overrated, and you chant same old shit, something that they did not chant with Ray, something that they don't chant with anybody. You know, that...
Who they used to chant overrated at back in the day?
I don't know.
They directed that towards somebody pretty famous.
They did it a few times. I mean,
right, but my point is that when you have fans chanting that, that's their way of telling you, we're not chanting you as a heel. They didn't do it with Edge. They did their heel heat yesterday was to basically tell John Cena, you don't deserve the position you're in. You know,
I think Randy Orton got good heel heat because he's a real smug prick.
Yeah,
so,
Randy Orton didn't get. Yeah, he didn't get.
Randy
that.
Orton's a cocky prick, and you can't deny Randy Orton's talented.
I am waiting for Randy Orton just to shit in somebody's handbag and get released.
Yeah, you know what amazes me?
He is talented, but he's a troubled guy.
What disturbs me is why would the
I don't see how he could be troubled with having hepatitis C Cowboy Bob Orton as his dad.
Yeah, right.
No, but I'm just saying he's talented. You know, he's got the look. He's got some moves. He's just got to get his act together. It's not anything that hasn't happened to a few wrestlers.
Randy Orton, bottom line, got screwed when he became the World Heavyweight Champion. That was it.
Yeah, it was
Randy
too young. They were doing it to get back. They were doing it
Randy
to get back
Orton,
at Brock.
Yeah,
yep.
Randy Orton was too much, too fast. Randy Orton was on a roll before that. Randy Orton was actually really good on
Listen,
the mic. He was.
I know, but Father
heat,
Time,
then, bam,
Joey.
He became a good guy. He became a good guy for
Joey,
the wrong
Father
reason.
I was digging Orton when he was in Evolution.
I was digging him too, actually. And you know what? They did it right when they did it with Batista. They did the right way.
Joey, it's Father Time, Joey. They wanted to take off of the moniker off of Brock Lesnar as being the youngest heavyweight champ of all time, and they looked at his age, and they had to make the move right at that point. They would have waited longer. Who else was in there that was that age? Fucking.
Well, they could have brought up. They could have brought Kenny Doan.
The line reason.
Kenny Doan. I hear is a real problem behind the scenes now too.
Fuck him.
Oh, God.
Fuck him. This whole shit squad needs to go. You know, we were joking a couple of weeks.
Anthony hates his fans.
No, we were joking a couple of weeks ago that I'd love to see Sandman cane the shit out of shit squad at the pay per view. I mean, it was funny that he cane the WWE guy, and I didn't think it would be you,
Johnny. Johnny Jeter, though. I think he's got a future. I think Johnny Jeter's a good wrestler.
Yeah. But,
I had the Gene screaming, no, crack.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that. I mean,
that was good. So when he was fan say, beg, you know, that was pretty good.
I will be the first to admit I totally marked out. This is the first pay-per-view I bought since Daphne took on Miss Hancock way back when in a wedding dress match.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Since then, I hadn't bought a pay-per-view. I bought
this.
I'm not gonna lie. I totally marked with Terry Funk in the eye. I thought he did take a big chunk out of his eye or something, man. So I marked out on that.
We're actually hearing that from a lot of people, that this was the first pay-per-view that people have ordered. And I think, Kevin, even yourself, you actually paid for this pay-per-view, so did
first
I.
First time I paid full price for a pay-per-view.
And you know what? I really wasn't disappointed with it. I was a little bit, you know, like, where was the surprises? But
yeah, no surprises,
that,
yes.
Terry Funk did do a good job, and so that wet match was really good. And I have to
say, I liked WrestleMania better, and I went into WrestleMania hating it.
Right. We went into a lot of things, and I think Vengeance is actually going to be pretty good. So.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that match, and I'm just like, oh, I this is the ECW
I
remember.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was a brutal match. I mean, with Foley almost caught on fire.
Except for the egg dry fucking Beulah at the end. That kind of put it over for me. I'm just like, it's a little unnecessary.
Yeah, you know what?
I thought it was unnecessary.
Beulah
looked
good.
I don't know what the hell the deal with that.
Yeah, there was no purpose in it. Unless they're already planting the seed that Edge is going to jump the ECW.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which I think he might.
Beulah looked
good. I think
it could
be a better fit.
Well, him pinning him was done for two reasons. One, to put over Edge as more of a legitimate contender for the heavyweight title.
If Edge hasn't convinced anybody at this point,
because
everyone last year was like skeptical. What does Edge have to do?
Yeah, it does.
When the only thing you get noted for is banging Lita, you got a problem.
He's got
much more than that lately.
He has to dry hump Beulah, obviously.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's put in excellent performance.
No, but I agree with you.
I heard the title once he dry humps Jazz.
The main reason why I
would never want to see anybody dry hump Jazz, but anyway, I think the main reason they did it obviously is so that none of the real guys get pinned. I mean, they pinned Beulah,
right?
you know what I mean?
Sabu,
easiest way to get out of the match.
They didn't want Sabu.
I mean, the last time I dry humped anything, I looked like Jazz. I was with de Blasio down in Corona.
Oh,
if you think of the whole pay per view last night,
Spaniards were there. Spaniard involved?
Yeah, were there Spaniards?
Think of the whole pay-per-view last night.
I am glad to hear
Think of the whole...
I couldn't help it. I drew it to a spades.
think of the whole pay-per-view last night. Who got pinned? Beulah. So no one of the other guys in the match get pinned.
Is it really going to hurt Tommy Dreamer or Terry Funk's career to get pinned?
Well, I know, but
still. Actually, Terry Funk probably would have wanted to get pinned, but he was actually caught up in barbed wire at the time. More than John Cena and Ray, I actually felt bad for Terry Funk because nobody wanted to cut him out of the barbed wire.
I know, the fans are ringside.
He was stuck there for 10 minutes.
He's standing there 20 minutes asking for help, but if you think of the
By the way, am I the only one who did notice Taz was winded as a motherfucker in that match?
Yes.
And all he gave a strap of Taz mission on?
Yep. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
If you look at the
I was actually expecting like a 2-minute match instead of, you know, it just felt like a quick in and out.
Yep.
For a 5'7 guy, he's so overweight. He's got to be about 280, 290. He's way
You know, I think, like I said yesterday, he was winded when he put the towel on.
They got to bring freaking Gertner back, man. That would be classic.
Well, you know, I think they're going to really milk who they're bringing in. Because it seems like they've been so vague as to who they signed and who they're bringing in.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see, like, I think they're going to milk the 10 guys that they signed, and you're going to see one by one someone show up. Anderson will show up 1 week, and another week Axel Rotten will show up, and another week this person will show up, and another week this person will show up.
Obviously Balls, Justin Credible, and Steven Richards were obviously there by design. They want to get them over. Yeah. Nobody knows who they are.
I mean, this is like the first time in a long time that I've actually been excited about like a wrestling product. ECW, I mean, there's so many options of what you can do as long as you don't get the McMahon influence and you don't get, like, you know, trying to dig too deep into the past.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind Edge going there, but John Cena, I don't know.
No, I want to see John Cena kind of.
If you want to bring in a legitimate tough guy, you bring in New Jack. You don't bring in John Cena, but you'll never see New Jack
in
an ECW ring again.
New Jack's 46 years old. They're not going to bring
him. Exactly. I mean, if you wanted a legitimate black guy, you could do better than Cena.
Yeah, but they could.
I could picture Shawn Benjamin in there, a real good athlete.
Exactly.
Charlie Haas needs to definitely go.
Charlie Haas,
I
think, belongs there. Maybe even tonight, squashing him tonight.
I understand that, but
Joey,
I got a good question.
That's the one thing I actually liked about ECW way back in the day and what they're trying to do now. You don't have the overblown, like, Vince McMahon steroid monsters in that federation. That makes it fun. It makes it interesting.
Oh, speaking of that,
well, look at his body now. You know what he's doing.
Shane Douglas spent more time on the DL than he spent in the ring.
Yeah, because of steroid-related injuries.
Yeah.
His injuries were classically steroid.
Yeah, speaking of steroids,
that's the kind of guy who injured himself jerking off and be on the shelf for 6 months.
Let me ask you a question. Was he overrated, honestly?
Yeah.
No, he was a franchise my ass.
No, he was not overrated.
He wasn't even a McDonald's
franchise.
Anthony,
he was overrated.
I mean, I love the triple threat, but come on.
The guy was awesome on the mic. The guy was a great wrestler. The guy, he was definitely not overrated. What belts did this guy have to be considered overrated?
They had to bring in Umaga and give him a new manager candidate.
I think we struck a nerve with Funk.
No, but seriously.
There's two things Anthony likes. Shane Douglas and his hatred of
Wait a minute.
Squad.
What did he do in WCW?
Oh, yeah, man. Before I got on with you guys, I took a big, huge Spirit Squad and wiped it with the voice of wrestling.
Let's talk about Shane Douglas for a minute. How could he possibly be overrated? He was the ECW
heavyweight. He overrates himself, Anthony. You ever seen his shoot interviews? He called himself one of the top 10 workers of all time.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I would consider him in the top. As far as the history of ECW and who was the biggest influences, Shane Douglas is definitely in the top five.
Well, he's the first guy.
I'd lower that and say top ten.
No, I'm telling you, he's not overrated. I mean, I think
I'll tell you who's underrated in that company, Raven.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
Raven was.
I would
put Raven above Shane Douglas.
There's a lot of rumors. I
put RVD above Shane Douglas.
I put Lance Storm above Shane Douglas.
Absolutely.
I put Justin Credible in front of Shane Douglas.
Well, I wouldn't go that far now.
I put Chastity over him.
I got this from a
see that blowjob on that.
I put Bill Alfonso above him.
Oh, God.
I got this
Bill
from
Alfonso,
a very reliable
match.
Source.
Pitbull 2 was doing pretty good, too.
This is the segment where
when he was getting pushed, Pitbull 2, yeah.
Hey, you know who else was at the end? Who's the guy that used to hang out with Justin Credible and Lance Storm? The hell's his name?
Oh, God.
I forgot what they called. He was actually Jason. He's actually in the ring at the end.
Well, talk about steroids. There's a muscle steroid.
Oh, God.
All right, well.
But you know who I'd like to see back in that company? Well, great fucking wrestler, Jason Jett.
The rotting corpse of Big Dick Dudley.
Easy Money, man. Jason Jett, absolutely. He's an awesome wrestler. Where is Easy Money? Where is this guy? Easy Money is still making wrestling tights for wrestlers.
I don't know what else he's actually doing.
He's a great wrestler. He's like Frankie Kazarian. Do you remember
the last days of WCW was actually really
awesome on that card. Yeah. I loved his work. I thought he was great.
Yep. He really was.
Everybody in the chat room was laughing because this was the segment where I constantly keep getting interrupted because I was trying
to...
And by the way, I think they should have kept... I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this, but they should have kept Joey Styles by himself. I don't think Taz needed...
No,
yeah, for last night, yeah.
I had no problem with that.
All Taz is going to add is stupid comments and just make me hate him more and make me feel sorry for Taz.
And then deny that he was kissing ass on SmackDown.
Exactly.
Oh,
I mean, that was horrendous last night.
For those interested, I got from a very reliable source that actually is involved in TNA that Rhino is going to sign an extension on his deal to stay in TNA.
Yeah, I read that today, and I'm very disappointed.
Why? Listening to Taz doing color commentary made me miss Mark Madden.
Right?
Well, what do you guys think about JBL doing SmackDown now?
That is awesome.
You know what?
I actually like a
Taz,
lot.
Taz
JBL is awesome.
Grow some dreadlocks, and he could be Umaga's tag team partner. I'm serious.
JBL.
Taz.
JBL SmackDown is going to be a real heel announcer that you have not heard in a long time. I'm telling you that right now.
Kind of like Jesse Ventura. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, JBL is going to be really good.
Yeah, I think
listening to JBL talk makes me really miss Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, that was another problem I had with the pay-per-view yesterday.
What do you think? Bobby Heenan was one of the best.
No, I mean now.
Oh, okay.
That was another problem I had with the pay-per-view yesterday. Why the hell was that necessary to have JBL on to
tell people it played in a little bit to replace Taz on SmackDown because it is a major person.
And they used to add salt to the wound about the Blue Meanie.
That was good.
I thought it was pretty good, actually. I thought it was pretty funny.
I
like JBL.
And he said he didn't have to use that special seat that Taz uses.
When JBL said that he could actually take the phone book, he could actually look over the desk.
Oh.
the funniest part of that. I mean, JBL is awesome, man.
You know, you were talking
about... JBL will definitely add some shoots every time. I don't think he goes by a script, JBL.
JBL,
I think he just
runs
off of the mouth.
Yeah, you were talking
because you can tell he gets stuck a lot of the time.
That was done to make the fans just be mad. I mean, that was great.
But
okay,
the Eugene thing was probably unnecessary.
The Eugene thing was unnecessary. And like we said at the top of the show, Sandman coming out to that music, whatever that music was, whoever produced that music needs to burn it like the Mini Vanilli CD that they did back in the 90s. They need to burn that shit.
Yeah, for those who
actually still have mine.
For those who are interested, that we were talking right at the beginning about steroid freaks and everything, go to my website and check out the preview from tonight's show, because I actually have a video trailer up for a wrestling documentary that's going to be coming out in the next month or so. It's going to be produced by Trans World Entertainment. It's actually the one that's going to be putting it into stores like FYE and Suncoast and a couple other places. It actually took about 2.5 years to make, but it's a very interesting video trailer. A lot of interviews, Raven. They actually have clips of when Vince McMahon was on Larry King Live, and Larry King asked him point blank if there were steroids in the WWE, and Vince said no. They actually have clips of when Bruno and Vince went at it on TV. It's fucking great.
That was, because I actually stopped by the site and checked that out today.
How great was that?
I had to laugh my ass off when Bruno just comes and goes, you have marijuana, you have steroids in the locker room. And Vince is like, Bruno, you know.
Yeah, you want to know something? I'm going to try to click on, I don't know if I could actually get the audio to play right now, but if I could get the audio to play right now, it would be pretty cool. So let's see if this actually works.
By the way, I also enjoyed tonight the other Kane that
wrestling sold its soul a long time ago. People would go, man, I know it's fake. And now they go, we don't care.
We treated wrestling like a sport.
Don't you think you're carrying these a little bit too far?
They scraped them off the mat and they put someone else in there. Don't you find that heinous?
Since 1997, 65 guys have died under the age of 45.
This end is no steroid use in WWE.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I saw Snooker jump off the cage and I thought, this is what I want to do.
Not only steroids, but cocaine abuse, marijuana.
Oh, you've been there, Bruno. You know what
it's there.
You wanted reality! You want reality!
Legends never die.
Four team concussions, folks, but wrestling's fake.
That was actually Mikey Whipwreck at the end. Yeah, so. Go to my website, watch the trailer. You're only going to see it there. So we got an exclusive. And
when is this coming out?
It's going to be out sometime in July or August.
Cool.
Yep, it's very cool. So what else? I wanted to say one other thing. You know, when you think about, like, Raven and some of these guys not being there, I mean, there's obviously you could always end up the day that one of these guys do show up. Problem is that, the wrestlers that have been in ECW are starting to get up there in age. So if Rhino stays in TNA for 3 years or Raven does, you know, when time comes in, who the fuck are they going to feud with? You know, so,
exactly.
You know, I mean.
Obviously, at that time, they might have some new stars that they could feud
with. Well,
I mean,
that's
Rhino. Like, Rhino's still young enough, though.
Yeah, well, Rhino, I think, enjoys doing the indie circuit and, enjoys doing the TNA. And he's getting paid decent money. And he's working a relaxed schedule. He doesn't have to.
And then you said Tommy Dreamer and Funk will not be wrestling, right?
Tommy Dreamer will. I heard that Tommy Dreamer is going to be teaming up with CM Punk, and then ultimately CM Punk is going to turn on Dreamer, and then they're going to have some crazy feud. I heard that that is supposed to happen. I mean, obviously they could change things around, but that is supposed to happen. So,
but Terry Funk will not be wrestling.
I don't think
he wrestled last night.
Well,
he did it. He did it.
The guy is very slow. I mean, I'm one of the biggest Terry Funk fans out there, obviously, with the nickname people gave me. But,
the person that went to last night's show told me that, I mean, he looked like really, really, like, bad.
After he went to the back.
And that was when he actually had his entrance, but.
Kevin, a lot of people don't know who Gypsy Joe is, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Hey, Anthony.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you guys, I know you talk about this pretty much every week about Raven and whatnot. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Raven at Wizard World Philly about a week ago.
Okay.
Yeah, they brought in a bunch of TNA guys. They brought in, like, the Dudley Boys on Saturday, Raven on Sunday. Virgil was there, King Kong Bundy, that sort of whatnot. Raven actually does not look that bad. He is bulked up in person.
I said it 2 weeks ago.
He looks very aged, though.
I don't know who looks really rough as King Kong Bundy nowadays.
Well, you know what? That's how Raven comes off on TV. Like I said 2 weeks ago, on May 20th when he wrestled for UXW, I actually hung out with the guy after the show. And I saw him, you know, with no shirt on, and, you know, we were hanging out, just talking, and, you know, like I said, the guy was offered a beer, refused it. The guy was offered a drink, refused it. Guy is clean. The guy won't even take a sip of alcohol, and when he took his shirt off, the guy is fucking jacked right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it up close and personal. The guy is jacked right now. I think
Someone who I really think is on the juices is
friggin' D-Von, man. That dude is
not only, man, he's got them damn mood swings. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was watching TNA on Thursday, and that man is bigger than Steiner right now.
I mean,
what the hell?
They have a new shoot interview out with our...
Well, see, here's the thing, too, man. That guy in person is just the biggest asshole. Like, they were bringing them in on Saturday to the TNA area, which is basically the treehouse because it was two stories tall, and joking with them, there's a chain that blocks it off. Well, they're going up the stairs, and D-Von's the last one up. I'm a wise ass by nature. I just go to him, D-Von, get the chain. Motherfucker looked at me and like, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah. Did you go? You went to the TNA shows this weekend, or one of them, right?
I went to the TNA show this weekend, and then I actually met them at the Comic Con.
All right. Let me ask you something. Were you at the TNA show that apparently there was some incident with chairs?
Yeah, Bubba Ray in the ring chanting for chairs, and everybody threw him in the chair.
Now, I got to ask you an honest
ECW
question.
Ripoff,
right? That's what I was gonna say. Was it that big of a deal? Because it really was.
Yes, like the first 15 rows threw their chairs into the ring.
Oh, okay.
It was amazing that Bubba Ray didn't get hit once.
Really? I was just
curious.
Who was
on top of that card? Who was the top match on that card?
Oh, fuck it. I don't remember because I left early because I had to go to work.
It was...
Who appeared in there on the undercard? Was AJ Styles there?
Yeah,
you know what? More than likely, I would not be surprised if he just shows up on TV.
I think it was AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe.
Honestly, I wasn't impressed with it because I mean I've seen WWE live, I've seen WWE live, I've seen WCW live. I saw TNA. I wasn't impressed.
Right.
They get the matches going, and you're just like, okay, this sucks.
Well, we said that TNA was going to take the biggest blow from ECW, so.
Yeah, they blew all right.
A rivalry there.
Hey, you want to laugh? Remember that guy that we were joking around on the hotline? I don't think we ever talked to him on the webcast because this was so long ago. Remember Johnny K-9, the guy from Canada who was in jail for the double murder?
Yeah.
They actually dropped the charges against him.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know why they dropped the charges.
I didn't know you can drop murder charges.
Well, they probably found him not guilty. I mean, Canada, no offense for the people listening in Canada, but, you know, Canada's legal system is a little bit different. They don't have guilty and not guilty sometimes. They'll just say that the charges have been withdrawn. And, you know, that leads to the thing, like, what the fuck does that mean, you know?
And as you can see by their award show that Trish Stratus hosted, it's very hokey.
Yeah.
It looks like Ronan Martin's laughing.
Yeah, you...
Oh, God.
It was funny because...
What kind of show was that?
When she kissed Pamela Anderson... If you look at the crowd, nobody was popping. And I actually read a recap of somebody that watched it live, and they said that she got no fucking response whatsoever. They actually piped in on the fucking WWE fucking vignette that they had to show.
How popular is she in Canada? Is Trish Stratus really popular? Because I've seen her go to a lot of big award shows in Canada, like as a big celebrity.
She is popular. I can't tell you now, but she... You know, she's considered like a celebrity. I mean, not like a tremendous celebrity. You also got to remember, and again, no disrespect to Canada.
It's not a big country.
I mean, it's like California. I mean, it's like when California has like a show with all the Californians. I mean, who in California is the, you know, a big celebrity? So
it's called the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, that's...
Yeah, who's considered a celebrity there?
I think there's that Dermot Mulroney guy, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I think there's that Cruzy guy.
I would consider Trish Stratus.
Now, how much longer is WWE going to end up pimping See No Evil? If you haven't downloaded it already or seen it at Budget Cinema.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey,
and that the DVD didn't even drop yet.
Who's the
hot porn scene with Christina?
Oh, God, so I got six more months of this crap?
Who's
that blonde girl? Yeah, you do have 6 more months, but that blonde girl in that video is hot as hell.
Oh, hells yeah.
Who? I like the Spaniard.
I give her crimson hair.
I like
the Spaniard slash Afro chick.
Girl from Michael.
Who's the supermodel in her 40s that has the pimple on her face, the birthmark? What the hell is her name? I forgot her name. You know, the big supermodel.
Do you not like women, Funker?
No, she has the birthmark on her face. You know, Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford?
Yeah, I think Trish Stratus is, her, like, stature is like how Cindy Crawford is in the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Trish. I mean, I don't.
Oh,
I,
yeah,
I,
no.
I want to see her do well, so
I give her a lot of credit for doing that. She never did it before as far as, like, you know, that type of routine, but I heard it wasn't that good, so.
And she needs life after wrestling, not wind up a fucking crackhead. So, I mean, why not, you know?
To the person in the chat room who, whatever happened to the HBK gimmick that Lance K was supposed to get, WWE decided against
Look
it.
At him now. He looks like Danny Spivey meets fucking Dick Murdoch.
Oh my God.
He's far removed. And talk about steroids. Did you see how skinny Lance Cade was when he first came to the company?
Yeah.
He put on about 60 pounds of muscle.
Yep.
What's really scary looking was the Sandman last night, man. He looked like Lance Henriksen on crack.
It was just funny because he had that ugly
skinny
look on his face, and it's almost they gave him a cue to, like, okay, you know, go.
Yeah.
They put the camera a little too early, but...
He looks like the father of the guy from Bill and Ted. I mean, he looks like fucking Alex Winhead. I don't know how intimidating Sandman would be if I branded. I don't find him intimidating at all.
He
carries a fucking bamboo pole.
We have to take more callers.
Some people, a fishing pole, whatever that is.
There's some people getting a little impatient. We have to take more calls. But
I'll see you guys later. Thanks, talk to you next week.
Take care.
Yeah, man.
You know, later, bud.
Before we take another call, I do have to address one thing, because in the preview we were talking, I wrote on the website about Jimmy Yang and his Brokeback Mountain gimmick. And I said, is it a tribute to Gabe Sapolsky, or is this art imitating life? So, Kevin, I'll give you the helm on this one. Can you tell everybody about Jimmy Yang and his Brokeback Mountain gimmick and pretending to be gay? You tell everybody...
pretending.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretending. The Ultimate Warrior pretend to be crazy. Jimmy Yang, like I said, it's not... none of us witnessed a full anal effect here. But we it's pretty known in the business that outside of Chris Kanyon, the most notorious homosexual in the business is Jimmy Yang. It's commonplace. I don't know. Most smart fans know this. So I wouldn't blame a lot of fans for not knowing it. I mean, my brother's a real super fan. He didn't know that. He was shocked when I told him, but not really. But it's pretty commonplace known that and I guess to survive in the business, if he does the gimmick, it's what Kanyon, you know, I mean, I guess he doesn't want to see what happened to Kanyon. He doesn't want to get blackballed, so I guess he's going to roll with it. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to – he's very talented, that guy. I'm not going to put him – I don't put him down for being gay, but I don't. He's a very good talent. Jimmy Yang is a great wrestler. You can't take that away from him.
What was that story? Who walked in on him? He was banging someone. What was the deal with that?
I can't remember right now because I'm so drugged up. But I'm just prescription wise. But he is a great talent though. He's a great talent.
No, there was
Kenny's a great talent.
Wasn't there a shoot interview that somebody walked in?
See what they're doing.
Wasn't there a shooter?
It's too bad that they're
gay. They're
so talented.
Too bad they don't like chicks.
But wasn't
they should get into chicks. They're pretty cool.
But wasn't there a shoot interview where somebody walked in and Jimmy Yang was banging somebody?
I can't remember who. Someone said something on a shoot. You're gonna have to. I'll maybe say it. I'll have to research it and get back to you on the next line report or something.
Okay.
But I can't.
We'll talk about
it. I'm not gonna misquote anybody.
We're gonna talk
right
about
now.
You know, what I have to say about Jimmy Yang and Kanyon is that queering does not make the world work.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it
quote,
next week.
Quote the warrior, nevermore.
Want to take some more calls?
Quote the warrior. Oh,
that's it. That's the exact quote.
He hates homosexuals.
I mean, I saw the lecture that he gave at that college for the first time in my life, and he kept my interest for the entire hour. I mean, that was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Warrior.
I'm telling you, he's not
really
that crazy, man. I'm telling you.
He's not. I mean, that was one of the best things I've ever watched.
You know,
you're like he's like fucking General Patton meets fucking what's that guy's name?
It's hilarious because you know when the lecture first starts, they show a video of all his like you know wrestling things, and then he comes out there, he's like, well, I'm going to do a lecture about this. It has nothing to do with wrestling.
Yeah.
It's
queers,
the funniest thing.
Queers.
Yeah, he's on his own planet.
Queering does not make the world work, according to the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, I'm telling you, before it became...
I love the Warrior, man. I loved the Warrior before, and I loved him even more after that.
Before some internet geeks decided to make it politically correct to defend him, I mean, how long were we fucking defending this guy before anybody else would? I mean, way
awesome,
before
man.
They even came up with the idea of doing a DVD, we always...
You know, when you watch that thing, I mean, he does talk about, you know, when he left McMahon and whatever, he wanted to have a life after wrestling. He didn't want his whole life to be wrestling, and what's wrong with that? I mean, that's where the... WWE got mad, you know. He wanted to be apart from that, so that's why he got on top of
that. The guy may be wacky.
I thought it was a great lecture. If anybody got YouTube or access to YouTube, go watch the Warrior lecture because you'll actually learn a lot about life.
He may be wacky, and he may have been a little crazy naming himself Warrior and his kids Warrior, but the guy fucking made millions and kept his money. And
he's doing well financially,
He can walk, he can talk. I mean,
it's like Joni Lara. I have on my website right now pictures of Joni Lara with her new boyfriend. And last week she spent $50,000. They don't mention his name. You go to my website, you can see a picture of him.
Is it him?
Yeah, it's him. She spent $50,000 on his birthday, I think last week or the week before. And Star Magazine actually interviewed her a little bit, and they said, you know, if she would ever do another One Night in China, and she said, absolutely no. She says, my life has turned around, and, you know, I won't never do things like that again. And the point I'm getting at is that Sean Waltman made about 90% of all the revenue from that DVD, and she made virtually nothing. And look at where she's at right now. Look at where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Sean Waltman being back at DX, but I don't deny that he's a little creep. He's a creepy little bastard, without a doubt.
Right.
He's
the epitome
of creepy little bastard.
Hey, Kevin, I think you agree. Most of the people that we like on television, as far as character-wise, are real bastards outside the ring. I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I appreciate what they do in the ring. As long as I see what they do in the ring is what they do.
But the funny thing is, like, and I said, and I've told the story before, I'm not going to rehash it, but I'll just, like, quickly say that, because I met him twice outside, and his interests are very similar to mine, because he's into heavy metal and going to metal clubs.
All right.
Edge, I thought, was one of the coolest guys I met outside the business.
Right. I mean,
people,
when you look at him on TV,
Edge was cool as hell when I met him.
When you look at him on TV, he hate his guts.
The people in the chat room are bringing up what we talked about a few weeks back about YouTube, going to watch the Current Affair episode from 1992.
One of the best things ever.
And one of the persons is asking me, do I think Pat Patterson really made a pass at the guy that was broadcasting for him?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. Because I could tell you Kevin, who was that the black guy, the announcer that got beat up from Terry Funk?
Mel Phillips.
Could you educate everybody about Mel Phillips a little bit?
Notorious guy who he sexually harassed Randy Orton's uncle, Barry Orton, Barry O. Remember Barry O?
Yes.
And it's kind of funny that, you know, everything is forgive and forget in wrestling, but they made... you know, Barry O is a real public enemy number one, who's Randy Orton's uncle and Cowboy Bob's brother in real life, and he is barred from all WWF function. He is not welcome. He's been an albatross to the WWE. He's not even allowed to be mentioned around the locker room.
Right.
And Barry O wrestled as a preliminary wrestler for many years, but was involved in some sexual situations with Mel Phillips.
Yep.
The old black ring announcer in the mid to late 80s, early 90s.
Yep. Yeah, for the people that still don't remember Mel Phillips, he's the unfortunate bastard that Terry Funk came out to wrestle a match on WWF Superstars back in the mid 80s.
One of the best things I've ever seen.
Mel Phillips took his gear and then took his hat and put it on, and Terry Funk beat the living shit out of him.
And as the story goes, a lot of guys behind the scenes who knew what kind of sexual deviant Mel Phillips was loved every minute of it.
Yep. So Mel Phillips was a sexual deviant behind the scenes, and Pat Patterson, creative mind in the business, but
allowed it to go on.
Yeah, Pat Patterson.
Pat Patterson was a big political player, and he allowed the younger wrestlers, a lot of the jobbers, to get sexually harassed on a regular basis.
Pat
there was
Patterson
a lot of real disgusting behavior going on in the late 80s in the WWE.
Yeah, I'm telling you, what you saw in the Current Affair thing, you got people need to remember something. What you watched on the Current Affair thing is stuff that was filmed in 1992. This was right a few years after the heat of everything going down. So you're looking at people saying it 15 years ago. You're not looking at people saying it now like a shoot interview. This is the heat of the moment. This is before.
And actually, Anthony, that plays into you what you mentioned with last report was Billy Jack Haynes' shoot interview. From what I understand, there will be stuff mentioned about Mel Phillips on that shoot interview.
Really? I'm telling you.
Yeah, because Billy Jack was back, was part of that. That was going on.
Billy Jack Haynes actually said on the Current Affair thing that's on YouTube that when you were in the WWE, you couldn't drop the soap because you had to look left and right before you picked it up.
Yeah, I heard that his shoot interview is a must-get when Raw video releases.
He said that in the Current Affair thing. So imagine the shoot interview when there's like no bleeping involved.
And he was blackballed just like Barry Orton, and Billy Jack was a much bigger name.
Now, let me tell you something. I'm not gay, but the guy that's on the Current Affair, he's actually pretty handsome. You know, I would say that I'm married, so I could say that, and I'm pretty damn 100% sure that Pat Patterson probably tried to make a pass at that guy.
Yeah, probably did. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people.
That Current Affair thing was awesome.
There's casting couches in Hollywood for not only women.
Let me tell you something, man. YouTube is the awesomest thing ever, man. Watch the Warrior shit, the Current Affair shit, and also the Andre the Giant Legitimate Daughter shit. I mean, it's great.
You could
spend all day long on that channel and watch wrestling things that you've never seen in wrestling.
Yeah, you know what? It's cool. Sometimes you have wrestlers throwing stuff on there just to be snide. So
I mean, the thing that we saw the other day, Funk, with the Shockmaster when he
fell through the thing.
Yeah, but
they have that up there. That was the funniest things I've ever seen.
And by the way, we didn't mention quickly tonight, they did do a thing for John Tenta in the beginning.
Yeah, that
of the
was
night.
Nice.
They
that
did.
Earthquake.
Yeah, we'll talk about Earthquake in a second, but I just want to give a little advice to everybody out there. If you enjoyed that little YouTube thing about Current Affair, and you like controversy, and you like crazy sex stories and stuff like that, even if you never watched the guy, even if you don't even know who Billy Jack Haynes is,
most
fans over the age of 25 probably know.
Just like Foley said, you're not going to remember any Flair's matches from 10 years ago.
Yeah, if you...
Billy Jack had some sort of name in the business.
Yeah,
I know who Billy Jack Haynes is.
Even if you never heard of Billy Jack Haynes, when this shoot interview comes out, get it. This is probably the... if there was ever a choice of getting a shoot interview, that's how good I'm hearing this shoot interview is.
Yeah, it's over 4 hours.
4 hours of this guy talking about firsthand witnessing, you know, people fucking
steroids.
You know
McMahon,
the best thing about
this
shoot interview is that Billy Jack Haynes is a guy that has nothing to lose. So you
absolutely,
know when you
he's
have
got
nothing
to lose. He's not looking for a job.
Exactly.
When to get
lose,
back in the business.
When you have nothing to lose, you talk the most shit. So.
Yes, that is true. When you're a political player and you want to get back, he's not looking to make a comeback. He's happy in Portland, Oregon. He's not exactly making a legal living, but he went down a bad path, this guy, but he's definitely got nothing to lose. He's not looking to get back in the business.
So you know everything that is coming out of his mouth is probably 100%
and
true.
You are not going to see anybody outside Ultimate Warrior who hates Vince McMahon more than Billy Jack Haynes.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
Want to know something?
I think they should have a match. Who hates Vince McMahon more?
There are not too
Billy
many,
Jack is quite a badass.
There are not too many people from yesteryear that are still around that could actually tell the stories like this. That's why, you know.
Bruno,
obviously,
Warrior,
obviously,
Billy Jack.
Well,
yeah, but
I don't,
Billy Graham,
see, but you see, Bruno,
so.
Bruno.
Yeah, he needed money.
Yeah, but Bruno is so well-respected in the business. I can't see Bruno just shitting on people. Like, he's got that sort of class on him that, you know, even if he.
Well,
you know,
he was
really,
doing it in that clip that you played.
Well, Anthony, he's gone off at the mouth many times.
Yeah, but my point is, I think he would always stop at a certain point where, out of respect, like, because he's classy. And he doesn't, like, I can't see him saying, oh, I saw.
Well, he made a really good living off the McMahon family. I mean, it's kind of hard to.
Angle versus Orton.
He's a staple man. He's a Hall of Fame Madison Square Garden
guy. For the people
guy.
In the chat room looking for the link for the Current Affair, all you got to do is go to YouTube and in the search box type in WWF Current Affair. Or WWF.
No, or WWF 1992.
Yeah, WWF 1992. And you'll see it.
It'll be the first video.
Yeah, it'll be the first video. But what I'm saying is I think Bruno Sammartino would go to a point where, like, I can't picture him opening up his mouth and saying, yeah, I saw firsthand Mel Phillips, you know, sexually, you know,
well,
squeezing the genitals of of Barry O and, you know, greasing him up.
I don't know
up.
About this.
Well, Anthony, there's a guy who a lot of fans might not know, but as you know, he's one of my favorites of all time. He's actually the probably the forerunner for Eddie Guerrero's character later on in life, was the Latin heartthrob. He was in the WWF briefly in 1989, where he was actually having a great run in the NWA, feuding with Nikita Koloff. WWF stole him from the territory and brought him up, and he claims Pat Patterson immediately started sexually harassing him. You know, Al Perez is a real good-looking guy, good body. He could have been a big star. They were going to give him like a Rick Rude type of gimmick, but they didn't want another Rick Rude there, and he said he went to many of these meetings where Pat Patterson was just it was over the top. He couldn't take it. He couldn't deal with it. So they jobbed him out basically because he wouldn't play games.
Yeah.
And Al Perez got a very good shoot interview too. Another guy's got nothing to lose. Not in the business anymore.
Yeah, but Al Perez
was a big
star
in World Class. If everyone remembers,
yes,
classic matches with Terry Von Erich.
It's on the Eddie Guerrero DVD too.
Yeah, Al Perez is tremendous influence on Eddie Guerrero and a very underrated wrestler. But he came to WWF in '89. I saw him in opening matches. I specifically went to the Garden to even see his debut. And from day one, he saw sexual harassment there. He even said he hung out with Randy Savage just to avoid being involved in all the crazy bullshit that was going
on. Incredible in the
chat room. And he says on his own shoot interview, since he's not a big star, a lot of people are going to think he just has an axe to grind. He's bitter. But a lot of shit went on there, and he doesn't like the WWF. He never did. He said that was the worst territory he ever worked.
The Incredible in the chat room said that they called him the heartthrob.
The Latin heartthrob, Al Perez.
Yep.
He's great.
So.
He used to do the, matter of fact, I remember one of the main jobbers used to job out to Al Perez in Florida. Was Mike Awesome. He used to wrestle him constantly in Florida. He was Dusty Rhodes champion in Florida when Dusty Rhodes owned the Florida territory, PWF.
This was
a lot of guys who have nothing to lose. As Joey said, the best shoot interviews are the guys who have nothing to lose.
Right.
You know, not necessarily guys who are down and out and need money from Rob Feinstein to do a shoot interview, but guys who aren't in the business and have a life outside of it.
Right. Well,
you know, everyone is looking to make a comeback.
Also in the chat room, they want to know, do we really think that Vince McMahon told Dr. D, David Schultz, to beat up John Stossel?
I don't think so. I think Dr. D's a psycho. I think he was the and talk about a predecessor to Steve Austin. I think Dr. D was the original.
You know what?
It's funny because that footage is on the YouTube, and when he smacked the shit out of that guy.
Joe, when you see him though, don't you, Joe? When you see Dr. D in that clip, don't you see Austin?
That guy was brutal in that. That was unnecessary.
I remember when
that was
on
really
2020. Kevin, you remember the night that aired? That was a fucking big deal back then. Makes me
that was up.
Old,
yeah, I was. We were in high school at the time, I think, because we're around the same age. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and that was a big deal. That was
that
the
was
talk
brutal,
around
man.
The fucking
I mean,
school.
Yeah,
the
that
next
was
day.
That was
yeah,
brutal. Man.
But,
I mean, I
but,
thought that was unnecessary.
But honestly, what I think happened was this: John Stossel. I mean, even though people nowadays have no fucking clue who he is. Back in the early 80s, John Stossel, as far as doing 2020, was actually a household name. The guy actually was very well known back then, and I can't picture Vince McMahon telling a wrestler to smack the shit out of a guy that's on national television for a national show. Because you got to remember, there was no Fox News channel. There was no
2020 stadium. Just came out. I think it was 2020.
Yeah.
It was like first or second.
And there
year
was no cable news back then. I mean, yeah, there was WHT. Remember the one with Wameco Home Theater?
Wameco Home Theater.
But Funker, even in that video, the guy that you're talking about, he actually says that he heard Vince McMahon say, "I shouldn't have told him to do that."
You know what?
Did you guys see Mr. Fuji in the background there with the Iron Sheik?
Yeah.
I think happened was Vince probably knew that the guy was there. And
scare
Vince
him.
Probably
yeah.
said, you know what, you know, you just you go out there and just put a scare into him and, you know, stay in character. I think that he meant just be a heel, go out there and do what any heel in the wrestling business would do if you're asked if wrestling is fake. Because remember, you know, back in that era, it was still protected. So when Uncle Joe used to say to you, wrestling's fake, you would turn around and say, mm-hmm. No, it's not. Shut up. Don't tell me
that's
that.
That's exactly what happened to me.
I was doing that in high school.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to me, man.
Right. So I think Dr. D.
I would get into arguments with my family members.
I would get so upset. I did physical confrontation.
I mean, really. Yeah, exactly. Really, really big arguments. And the funny thing is, the same same thing happened to Hogan with Belzer.
My uncle, that cocksucker, I should go piss on his grave tomorrow. Just for the fuck of it.
The funny thing is that my uncle was the one that got me into wrestling, and he kept telling me, oh, this is fake. And, you know, the funny thing is that Hulk Hogan was on Howard Stern talking about that that situation with Belzer, and he said that really got out of hand.
I actually got the footage. Remember when I played the audio on my hotline? When he had the footage. I actually saw that.
I saw it. I actually had it on tape.
Hogan was not too thrilled about when Howard Stern brought that up.
Yep. Well, you know what's funny?
Hogan didn't have a lot of money back then. He had a lot to lose in that lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at that sleeper hold you put on Belzer really looks like he was really knocked out. His body went limp. His body fucking looked
Belzer to me was always a scumbaggy type of guy.
He said that he knocked him out.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, but
Hogan did say that.
When he lifted his head and there was drips of blood coming down, I was like, oh, shit. It's fucked up, but anyway.
David Schultz definitely was an influence.
Yeah,
on Steve
Austin.
That was my favorite era, though. When you told the wrestlers like that wrestling was fake, and they just beat the shit out of you. That was awesome.
Remember the stories about Bill Watts, that if you were a wrestler and you got beat up by a fan, you got fired from the territory
because you lost your credibility.
Yeah,
you both see what Dr. D. What I think was Vince told him to stay in character, but I don't think Vince in any way told him to hit him. I think what Dr. D. thought was that by smacking the guy around a little bit, you know, he could get cootie points with Vince McMahon. And then when it went all over national TV and WWF got shitted on so bad, it got all this negative attention.
And when Schultz was in a major promotional push with Orndorff and Piper in that crew, he was part of that crew.
That's right.
Orndorff, Piper, and Orton. He was part of
I think
dropped.
The funniest thing about this conversation is that nobody knows who we're talking about.
No, I think a lot of people know.
I hope so.
In the day, for everybody that's listening, I want, you know, we're going to do this next week. I want people to call in and tell us the first time that you realized wrestling was you know, choreographed, let's say. But I remember my uncle, this cocksucker, he used to enjoy tormenting me and my other cousins of the young. You know what he used to do when we were like 8 years old as a joke? And I don't even now as an adult, I don't know what's funny about it. He used to smoke. No, he used to smoke. And he used to say, give me your hand. And he would put the cigarette out on your hand. Like it's a trick. And
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of family did you grow up with?
So he was a dick.
What is it? It sounds like the character Brad Pitt played in California.
I remember vividly one night, Jimmy Snuka wrestling on Channel 9 at midnight, WWF Superstars.
We were over
my uncle's house for a birthday, and it was getting late, and this sucks. For anybody that's younger, you know what I mean. You're out by a relative's house, and you're like maybe 10 or 12 years old, and then, you know, it's about 11 o'clock, and you want to watch something at 12. And then at 11:30, your parents say, okay, it's time to go home. But you know it's more than a half an hour to go home.
Long Island trip to Queens or to Brooklyn.
I had that experience with the Slammy Awards. I was going to Atlantic City, and they were giving the Slammy Awards live in Atlantic City, and that was torture for me.
Yeah, so so we were forced.
And I believe all of our parents did it on purpose.
So I think they did.
I
convinced my family to stay over there a little bit longer. Wrestling came on, because I wanted to watch wrestling right after the races, you know, right before the race, whatever the fuck it was.
The horse races.
Meadowlands.
Where's that from, Anthony? I was from
Meadowlands.
Where were those races from? Meadowlands.
Meadowlands. Yeah. So anyway, I remember vividly one night Jimmy Snuka was fighting Samoan number 3, Samu. He was having his match, and my uncle, that cocksucker, oh, no, it's fake, it's fake. And I'm like, shut up, it's not fake. Yeah, it's fake. And you know what the cocksucker did? He went into his he ran and got a blank tape, threw it in the VCR, taped part of the match, and after wrestling was over, he decided to rewind it. And granted, back then, the tracking wasn't that great, but in slow motion, he would go it slow so you could see that.
Yes.
They did
the exact same thing to me with the slow motion crap. And he would say, you see, they didn't even touch the guy's face.
Piss me off.
You turn on the NWA and then you show them that that's real.
It was from that point on when I used to watch wrestling in secret.
I'll tell you one night, actually, believe it or not, a lot of friends of mine found out wrestling was real but was fake in ECW. And one moment that several people have brought up to me, and if anybody has the match or ends up ever watching it, doing it in slow motion, you'll see what I mean. It was the night that the Heavenly Bodies took on the Public Enemy in ECW. This was a match that went all over the building. I even think that they used like a cherry pie or some type of berry pie in the match. But there was a spot where I think Rocco Rock, God rest his soul, was punching Jimmy Del Rey. And Jimmy Del Rey was supposed to take the punch and then fall backwards into the crowd. And he missed by about 8 inches, maybe even more. And this happened like 2 or 3 times in a row. And, you know, it was just like people were so let down, like, oh, fuck, you know, there's people in the chat room that are saying that remember it. I mean, it was basically
like tonight when Johnny Nitro hit that spot and Carlito sold it like he actually hit it.
Yeah, I mean,
he was nowhere near Carlito, but he sold it like he broke his
neck. Now, do you think it's instinct for the other wrestler to cover the other wrestler's ass to sell it?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
I think Carlito did the right thing, obviously.
No,
Carlito
I disagree. If you miss that bad, you should
because
sell
mistakes
it.
Happen. That's true. You don't have to sell. You can make like it was, you know, oh, the guy fucked up. You know, he made a mistake. I'm not going to sell.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, if...
And then just play it off. Hey, everyone slips, you know, and messes up.
Had that been last night, people would have let them know.
Let me tell you something.
I know wrestlers hate that, too.
You know, without giving stuff away, I'm actually, for the people that don't know, I'm having my first wrestling match Saturday for UXW, Sunday for UXW. And
have you come up with a finisher?
No, not yet. I haven't come up with a finishing move yet. But
try the Schultz.
try the Schultz.
Smack him in the ear.
Try the sleeper hold like Belza. Good night, Irene.
Good night, Irene.
You
know what? I got news for you. If Louis tries to punch me in the face and I
which he will
and he doesn't and he doesn't connect and the fans, you know, and he misses by a long way. I got news for you. I don't care, you know, nothing. I'm going to stand there and you fucking missed, motherfucker. Hit me again. If somebody lands a finishing move and you know, this...
I think we need to bring back cocksucker as a word.
Yeah, cocksucker. Let's put a couple of cocksuckers on the line right now because I know we're
let's take a couple more cocksuckers.
We're almost at 2 hours already, believe it or not. And I got to give much respect, seriously, no jokes. I got to give much respect for everybody that's still in the chat room listening. Because there's a shitload of people still in the chat room listening. We're on 2 hours already.
We're actually talking about wrestling this time.
No pee-pee breaks, no commercial bullshit. Actually, I did want to say this. You know, I always thought black people dance the best. I'm serious.
They're called the Afro-Americans.
No, when I used to go to a club at like 16, 17, 18 years old, I mean, back then, the cool thing to do was up-rocking. And I remember me and a couple of white guys trying to do up-rocking. And all of a sudden, you see these guys with fucking Michael Jordan sneakers and fucking baggy pants, the MC Hammer shit, doing fucking dives and flips and all this fucking acrobatic bullshit and making us look fucking stupid. Then we would go to clubs in, like, Ridgewood, Queens, expecting to be around our own kind, you know, like guys that can't.
I don't mean
that in a racist way. I just mean, like, no competition. Like, you hang out, you do a little dancing.
No spirit chuckers.
You know, a little, like, disco dancing. You know, nothing too crazy. You know, you're like you do at a wedding. And then all of a sudden you go there and you'd find all these guys from the hood fucking not only dancing, but dancing 2 and 3 together, like synchronized dancing. It was an Olympic art or something. And make us look like shit.
Thank God you weren't at my wedding.
No, but the
it's funny, in Brooklyn, they were all Italians at those clubs.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was all... like white.
Hey, you remember
back in the 80s, I mean before I got into metal in the mid 80s.
You know, I'll make fun of my own kind. Remember 86th Street under the L and Bensonhurst? Back in
the oh, yeah, I used to drive
back
there
in the
all the time.
For people
like
that live out
80s.
Of state,
first
you,
driving
you know,
16, 17 years old.
If you ever look at Vanilla Ice music videos or just picture about 100 to 200 Vanilla Ices with their cars driving underneath like the L, which is the underneath the train tracks or whatever, driving along the strip, going about 5 miles an hour, each one blasting their music and doing the Linguini.
Oh,
here's a blast from the past, the Linguini Lean. You remember the lean, when everybody used to lean, where they would literally be in a passenger seat driving the car? They would lean to the side.
Yeah.
Well, the point I'm getting out of all this is that, you know, I was always, through the years, with the feeling that African-Americans were the best dancers. I mean, you know, the great basketball players. Come on, they came out with a movie, White Men Can't Jump. Why the fuck did they say that? Why? Because of Zach Allen? They said because they can't jump. Actually, I know somebody that fucked Zach Allen, but I will not put the person's name on the line because I personally did a little surprise at this person. But anyway.
Someone who fucked Zach Allen, you won't say his name online?
No, her name. Her
is that what you said?
Her name.
Is that what he just said?
But I will
say... Wait, you know somebody that fucks that guy?
I don't...
No, but he said he won't say his name online.
I won't say her name.
Oh, I thought you said his
But anyway, just to get to the point...
I know who I can figure out who it is.
After watching when Zarqawi got blown up in Iraq, did you see these fucking Iraqis dancing in the street with guns and stuff? I mean,
they got some good rhythm.
I take it back, but fucking Iraqis are the greatest fucking dancers around. I mean, they have these women wearing these fucking Sabu-like
outfits. They dance around the whole right and wrong terrorism.
Yeah, they're waving guns. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, you're videotaping people waving guns, celebrating, and it's like... You know, I would not want to be around.
Now that's extreme.
Yeah, there's like 40 or 50
that's
of them.
Hardcore.
And then you've
got
like these 300-pound Iraqis that obviously, you know, eat nothing but fried Iraq food, whatever the fuck they eat over there. Fried camel.
God. Fried Iraq
fried,
food.
they eat like fried camel.
Whatever, zeppelins and fucking corn dogs?
Whatever they eat, fried camel, whatever the fuck it is. But you got these 300-pound Iraqis.
What the fucking, fuck am I listening
to? Does any of our, anybody in the chat room know what Iraqis fried food is?
I don't know what they eat. Curry, whatever. I don't know. Fried curry mixed.
Shish kebab. What do they have?
Shish kebab. What kind of food do they eat? But all I know is you got these 300-pound men fucking dancing around and they're fucking moving. And I'm saying to myself, holy shit.
How do we go from wrestling to
I don't know where we've got.
We were going to take a call and then we went on
But think about this. This is the most amazing. This is the most amazing thing about it. They're not dancing to music. They're just in the streets. And I'm saying to myself, how the fuck, how do you have rhythm like that?
Anthony, did you take the blue pill?
No. I took the white one. But think about it. These guys aren't even dancing to like MC Hammer or fucking Diana Ross or Kool and the Gang or Casey and the Sunshine Band.
What about Africa Bambaataa?
They're just singing about Zarqawi being dead. Like, and it's like that they got all this rhythm. And I'm thinking to myself, could you imagine if they started fucking dancing to like Madonna? I mean,
Anthony, you were a DJ. You were a DJ, right?
Yes.
Remember Soul Sonic Force?
Oh, yeah, play Joan Risk, Planet Rock.
There you go.
Soul, Sonic Force.
Renegade Defunct.
Yeah.
Should somebody bring the Warrior on this line?
Yeah, let's take some calls. 866-35. I'm
talking about the 80s DJ.
Yeah, I feel bad for anybody who kept redialing saying, you know, what the fuck am I listening to right now?
I know, but they probably got...
Where is Zach Allen right now? He's banging some chicken and bar. Actually,
he does
some indies, and believe it or not, if you do a Yahoo News search, you will read an interview that Zach Allen just did maybe about a week ago. He's still around. He's still lingering, but...
I want to know who fucked him.
No, you know what the funny thing is? Every time he does an interview, like, he curses up a storm. Every time he does an interview, like he could do an interview for fucking God Magazine, and the first thing, you know, how'd you get into the wrestling business? Oh, I fucking loved it. It was fucking great. I saw it on fucking TV, and I was fucking hooked. This is that. Well, didn't you think, you know, you might have a problem with one leg? Ah, fuck that. Ah, fuck. That's basically, you know, his interview. But
is that the way he speaks?
No. Somebody,
Anthony, you're a master of the ventriloquism.
No. Jim Ross.
Anthony's like a regular fucking.
Jim Ross
looks
like
a guy who does everyone's voices.
Jim Ross looks
like that guy who did Owen Hart that time, remember?
Jason
Sensation.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. No, Jim Ross looks like a ventriloquist dummy. Jim Ross actually, if you look at his skin, if his skin gets any softer, he's going to look oily. He's going to have that plastic look, you know, that the dummies have when, after you wax them. I'm telling you, if you really want to piss off Jim Ross, you know, just go up to him with a couple of cables.
I don't look at the men too much.
I don't look at the men either, but I just found it funny when Tori Wilson was throwing water balloons at him before. And you know what's funny, too? I mean, I was watching that match. Candice Michelle she picked up Tori Wilson, and I was like, oh, God, she's going to execute a move. Then I looked on the floor, and I saw she's standing in a puddle of water, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? if I was a WWE, I would not have an inexperienced wrestler, especially a woman that doesn't have too much strength, picking up another wrestler standing in water. Because if she would have slipped...
Well, while you were paying attention to that, I was paying attention to their wet breasts.
Yes. Engelbert's on the chat room. Jim Ross is a giant hand puppet. Jim Ross, even though, like I said, if WWE can make fun of religion, if WWE can make fun of the troops, if WWE could do beheadings and all this other shit, then you know what? I have the right to make fun of Jim Ross. Jim Ross looks so pathetic on TV.
You have to do the same thing that the WWE does.
You know,
they jump off the roof. Are you going to jump off the roof?
Jim Ross is so pathetic on TV. You know what's going to have to start happening? Somebody's going to have to put strings behind his back, and they're going to have to start talking because he can't even move his mouth anymore. He looks like a fucking ventriloquist dummy.
Jerry Lowell's hair is really leaving his head, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Why do guys do that when they lose their hair? Make it wet. You can only see his scalp more. That's like a bad look.
Well, he should start wearing the crown
Trust
again.
Trust me. After
wear the crown.
Daphne,
wear a hat.
Daphne emailed a picture of me with her before, for a couple of weeks ago, and she's like, I found this picture of me and you. It's pretty cool. I looked at my hair, and it's the Jerry Lowell hair. And I was like, I am not wetting my hair again. So
can we please bring in some callers?
Let's bring some callers. 866-35. Actually, I bet you a lot of people think that we're off the air already because we're actually surpassing 2 hours. So we'll take a couple more calls. I'm trying to see if we've missed anything tonight from the show. Not really much. I mean,
what's with the repush of Tori Wilson? Were they big on her again?
I don't know. I mean, I just
was there a little. By the way, Anthony, was there a little shooting there where Jim Ross goes, "I know why she did that to me."
I don't know.
Where she threw the balloon at him and he made that comment.
You know what?
Like, I know why she did that.
You know what sucks though, Kevin? I'll answer it like this. What sucks is that Jim Ross would not normally go live on TV and say, "Oh, I know why she did that." I think that might have been done, and now you're going to see people on fucking websites saying the reason. You're going to see a news article.
Jim Ross
saying,
probably wanted to release her or something. Yeah,
she. I wouldn't be surprised if, remember when we thought
he wasn't a big fan
of
hers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Jim Ross is not a fan of a lot of the women, believe it or not. And like I said, I'm going to ask Daphne when she interviews it. When I interview her, but word around the campfire is that when she was in OVW,
I heard that Jim Ross is big on Victoria and Trish and not many others.
Jim Ross
did not
like Daphne at all, and Jim Ross, when they were having her down in OVW and stuff and working on a character for her, the first words out of his mouth was, "What is she going to be, another Daphne?" Like, he just absolutely shit on the whole gimmick. And the funny
thing... Well, if you remember, Anthony, that was during the period of the Oklahoma thing, so probably the characters from that little era probably rub him the wrong way.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Not that Oklahoma had anything to do with Daphne, but she was, that was the same time.
Here's a stupid idea that I think I might be right at. I know that there's all these crazy rumors of WWE having a vampire gimmick in ECW. I think the angles would be more successful if it was a goth gimmick. Think about it.
What do you mean?
Well, think of the gothic style.
Well, they intertwine, Anthony. They intertwine.
Right, but don't you think goth would be a more apropos... all right, let me say it like this. Don't you think having a goth gimmick or a group of goth people in ECW would be more acceptable or accepted by the ECW diehards out there?
Yeah, but the goth lifestyle, I mean, doing goth and industrial shows and death metal shows I've worked, there are different styles of music, but a lot of these people are into that kind of vampirism.
Right.
Not all of them.
Right, no, I agree with you.
The Wiccan religion. It's not all. I'm just saying this. A lot of these dark haired girls, you really can't tell some of them if they're goth or into death metal or into
right. But that's
industrial
my point.
Dance.
I think that that it would be more accepted amongst the ECW fans if they were going to have a goth group instead of a vampire group. Vampire sounds too monstrous, and I think that's why people. I mean, look at it like this: for the people,
but as we said before, you can fit these characters. You can still have a Missing Link. You can still have a Chris Benoit, and you can. And they could be in the same company.
Could you imagine the way Mike Johnson feels right now about what the ECW that happened yesterday and today, and then they start bringing in vampires and fucking super science fiction characters? Fucking guy who slit his wrists. The guy who slit his wrists. he'll demand that 911 comes out and choke slams the vampire.
No, I kind of hope he does that so you can stop talking about him.
Yeah. So
I think there will be a vampire fraction, and since Gangrel was an ECW for a cup of coffee, but he was there as Vampire Warrior with the Tommy Dreamer feud that lasted what, 3 matches? But actually, and he looked good back then. Gangrel's one of those guys to me who's a good hand. I don't know why he's never when he was in the Brood. I don't know. Like, it's funny that he was really the main character, yet the other two took off, Edge and Christian.
For the people,
and, they didn't really even talk. I think Gangrel just can't talk. He doesn't have to work that gimmick.
For the people in the chat room, they're saying Gangrel, no Gangrel bullshit. I guarantee you, if he shows up in ECW because he is signed, you're gonna have Joey Styles shoving down our throat the fact that when he debuted in ECW and fought Tommy Dreamer, it was the Vampire Warrior.
Yeah, he beat Tommy
Warrior.
Dreamer up, yeah.
No, Tommy Dreamer beat him. That was when Luna was in the corner of Tommy Dreamer, and was that Luna's estranged husband, the Vampire Warrior, came in. I remember Vampire Warrior was...
Well, he was one of the Blackhearts, if you remember his tag team, the Blackhearts.
Right.
He used to be under a hood in Stampede. Stu Hart created that team.
Damn, I can't believe it's fucking 12 years ago. I still remember that night, too. Vampire Warrior came out. Tommy Dreamer was standing at ringside with Luna, and Vampire Warrior came out with Stevie Richards. And how many people remember this, what Stevie Richards saying, you know, like, why is he here? Because he's great. He's great. He's the vamp. And then Tommy Dreamer's like, oh, if you want to have a match, you know, like you're an ECW, let's do it. And he's like, you know, saying
something.
Remember
he punched Tommy Dreamer in the face.
Yeah, he punched him in the face, and then they had their match. But Tommy Dreamer won, but I remember that vividly. But he was the Vampire Warrior. So I wouldn't doubt that Joey Styles would sell him as the Vampire Warrior.
Yeah, and he was in ECW, and he did and he's married to the most hardcore chick of all time, Luna. And being married to Luna, I give the guy credit. He is hardcore.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yep. And I agree with people in the chat room. Having Devin Storm Crowbar, you know, who has that look, Daphne in there, Vampiro.
I think Canyon would have had that look too.
Yeah, Canyon.
I think Crowbar could fit in.
Canyon don't want to suck blood. He wants to suck cock. So I don't think it would fit in.
God.
No, I'm just saying it bluntly.
Demon.
It this way, and this is no disrespect to Canyon, because Canyon, I cannot believe, is not in either WWE or TNA right now.
Yeah,
that is one guy.
He's a good worker.
If you ask me about anybody on the indie scene that is not on the WWE TNA deal that should be there, Canyon would be the first person on my list.
And Frankie Kazarian.
Right. But Canyon, the problem is because...
He'd be good for the vampire gimmick.
Right, but the problem is because we all know about it now, you'll get wise asses, especially ECW fans, if he's not accepted or if he doesn't do well, they'll start talking about him sucking dick and not blood.
ECW fans surprise me, though. Like, for some reason, they know the guys... Maybe he would get over.
He would
maybe
get over because he's that good in the ring.
Canyon is fucking
awesome.
Maybe
he would get over. There's always been rumors about Paul Heyman's sexuality.
When Canyon did the DDP thing and he was diamond cutting people across the street, I mean, that was one of the best things. Canyon could work.
Canyon's a great word. Yeah, he's a great word. No one could.
Innovator. He's an innovator. Man.
Somebody
you have that much hatred in you that you can't give a guy credit because of his sexual orientation, then you don't know shit about wrestling.
Somebody in the chat room said Canyon versus Leader and a semen on a pole match.
Oh, God.
Anyway, let's take a call, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, let's open the phone lines. All right, last chance if you want to call in,
866-352-8485.
Again, for anybody who's listening tonight live that might have had some issues getting in, I really can't explain as to why, but, you know, the server is working fine. So.
Suck it.
trying to see if I missed anything else tonight. I don't think so.
You
know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the earthquake because...
Oh, yeah.
He did die last week.
We haven't said anything about
it. We have not, and it kind of sucks because it seems like the only two things we didn't talk about tonight was there's a study out now that the hops in inside beer could actually help fight cancer.
Mm,
yeah, it's
really?
Yeah, but they said you have to have 17 beers to have the,
to
have the effect work. So
I guess Austin is all right.
Yeah, that's why Austin.
Yeah, Austin's gonna live.
That's why Austin and Sandman are gonna live till 80 or 90.
They're finding something always does this to you, but does that to you. You know what I mean?
You know what is kind of funny when you think about the wrestlers nowadays. You know, from Randy Orton to John Cena to Austin. Can you picture these guys being 70, 80 years old?
No, most wrestlers don't live that long.
Yeah,
the average age for a wrestler, Anthony, you have to remember, is 45.
Yep, that's right. You know, but as far as Earthquake passing away, Joey, you said
speaking of living, you spoke
about that last week, Joey. You and Kevin actually, when this guy wrestled Hulk Hogan, I mean, who would ever thought that when he wrestled Hulk Hogan, he was only 25 years old?
I would have guaranteed 35.
I would think right now we'd be saying, you know, 51-year-old John Tenta passed away recently.
42.
How old is he when he died? 40?
42.
42, God. Well, once again, he made that scary under 45 cut.
Yeah, that's right. Well, his, I think, is a little bit different. I mean, he passed away from
cancer. Who knows? We don't know. Like, it's some kind of, it could be some kind of fucking weird fucking karma. I don't know.
you know what's funny?
It's really frightening, actually.
You know what's funny? When he was the Shark in WCW, he was younger than me and you, Kevin. It's fucking scary.
But then again, but you know, right, here's the thing. Remember Crusher Blackwell, Jerry Blackwell, right?
Yes.
Remember Jerry Crusher Blackwell?
Yes, I do.
All the old big heavy guys who died, Haystacks Calhoun, who died before 40 because of his diabetes problems. Isn't it funny that King Kong Bundy is still, and John Goodman is still alive?
Yeah.
John Goodman is like bigger than both. I mean,
and Bundy is still alive. Like,
King Kong Bundy, that's pretty amazing. You want to know something? I hyped this up before the match happened. On May 20th, we had King Kong Bundy versus Jake the Snake Roberts at UXW.
How'd he look?
Well, I'm going to say, about a week before the match, I was trying to sell...
Was it dubbed the slow motion match?
No. Well, this is the thing. A week before the match, I was selling it on the hotline, telling people, you know, you can make fun of Goodman's Fed all you want, but the one thing that's always known, he always makes sure that people get their money's worth when people have matches. And I said, from what I hear, you will not be disappointed in their match. And the thing was that a lot of Jake Roberts' matches you read on the indies last 2-3 minutes long. They actually had about a 9-minute match, and it wasn't stall tactics. And they both looked good. King Kong Bundy moved around great.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's got to be about 50.
Yeah. The guy actually, you know, looks like he hasn't aged a bit. Looks exactly the fucking same. Missing Link, Kamala, time capsules.
Yeah,
Missing Link still has that same build. Yeah,
Hillbilly Jim, too.
Yeah, but Hillbilly Jim changed his hairstyle. He wanted to be more like a mean Texan. You know, it's like he changed around.
Yeah.
Kamala, out of everybody that's up there in age, I think Kamala, it looks exactly the same. Like, Missing Link has got a gut now, and, you know, King Kong Bundy still looks the same, but he's bigger, you know, than what he was before.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But Kamala
looks the same. Did you know Missing Link is 64 years old?
Yep. Fucking God bless him, man. God bless him. I saw fucking pictures of this guy, and I was like, holy shit, this guy could still do it. Him and Mil Mascaris.
Scary looking.
Yep. So, well,
we're not going to take a...
No, I don't think we're going to take any more. We're about 2 hours and 20 minutes in, so...
Yeah, enough is enough.
I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I think we pretty much covered everything. There's actually people putting up links in the chat room about Bundy, how he looks now. There's some photos up there. So if you're in the chat room, go check out those links. To the person in the chat room, The Incredible, do I think King Kong Bundy will rejoin WWE? You know, it's interesting.
Maybe a walk-on here or there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm a little surprised that he has not returned at all.
Possible Hall of Famer, possible.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to put Cowboy Bob Orton, then you got to put him in. But,
well, WrestleMania 2, that cage match was pretty good.
Him and Hogan, yeah.
It was actually pretty good.
Yep. King Kong Bundy has a school in his Jersey called Devastation, Inc. And
named after actually Skender Akbar's famous Texas fraction of World Class for many years. That was basically the Heenan family of World Class.
Yeah, and believe it or not, he's actually doing pretty good over there. So, you know, maybe it's just a case that he's doing
the
school
name,
and he's
by
content.
The way. Devastation Incorporated.
Yeah, it is. Do I think they'll ever bring back Vader? No. After what happened with the coach that time when the guy fucking fell.
No.
You know, Vader was getting in shape. He had a concussion not too long ago, which prevented him to travel in Northeast to wrestle. But unless Vader drops 50 pounds, I don't see him back. I really don't.
Yeah.
So, if anybody else...
How was Jake Roberts, by the way, a quick
hint? What happened?
How was Jake Roberts behaving on that show?
He was very good.
Never really mentioned that.
He was actually very good.
Yeah,
he was very good. So no complaints. No complaints. Actually, people were very happy with the match. Nobody shit on it at all. He actually shook hands with some wrestlers.
Was he fan friendly?
Yeah, he was pretty. For the fans that did interact with him, I didn't see anything bad about him. You know, everybody was satisfied. So, Somebody in the chat room said, didn't in USA Pro JPW they do Vader versus Joe? He did a moonsault. I honestly do not remember the moonsault. I actually was a Jersey All-Pro when it was Vader and Mike Awesome versus...
Well, with Joe, I have it on tape. It's on Vader's shoot interview.
Did he do a moonsault?
Yeah, he did. And it was...
it's got to be from
Samoa
a couple
Joe
years ago.
And it was Mike Awesome and Vader versus Samoa Joe and...
Jay Lethal?
Damn it, I can't remember who it was.
Who? Jay Lethal?
No, it wasn't Jay Lethal, no. I can't remember who it was. Shit.
Yeah,
I'll rehash on the next hotline report.
And he did a moonsault?
Was Samoa Joe's pants up to his neck?
No, but Samoa Joe was definitely taking it easy on him.
But did he do a moonsault?
He wasn't kicking him that hard. Yeah, he did a moonsault.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so he did a moonsault. And then I was terrified. I thought the ring was going to collapse.
That's only about two
years
ago.
It's on the Jersey All-Pro shoot interview. There's matches on the shoot.
All right,
it's a double disc DVD.
Somebody in the chat room wants to know, what do we think about the Dudleys who think that they have a chance of coming back even though Sign Guy is signed? Sign Guy Dudley signed to do behind-the-scenes stuff. I personally don't see him doing anything on camera. I personally think... you got to remember something. When Sign Guy came in, Sign Guy was doing photography for ECW. Sign Guy really was not, like a wrestler. He was not... trained in school. You know, he was a fan, but he was doing photography and stuff. I actually had the pleasure of picking his brain a little bit back in the day. Big hockey fan. Big Philadelphia Flyers fan, if I remember. Well, it might have been the Penguins, but point is, they brought in Sign Guy Dudley definitely as a behind-the-scenes guy, not as an on-air character. If the guy was going to return for anything, don't you think it would have been a TNA by now? So.
What about Dances with Dudley?
Ah, that guy's fucking... you know, the guy will not be back. So, somebody in the chat room said stiffest match ever: Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher. So,
I never saw that match.
I never saw it either. So, well, anyway, somebody else said, "Isn't Vader afraid of heights?" I don't remember too much about that. I mean, as far as big men, I remember infamous Yokozuna being afraid of spiders. There was always that claim that he saw a spider and got a heart attack. And that fucking, I don't know. I don't believe that. Would the spider stick around? I mean, fucking, unless he had and you think a hotel room allowed a spider to, like, weave a web and just left it there? I don't believe that. So, it does. I'm answering people in the chat room.
This question's getting crazier.
Yep. So I think we're pretty much done tonight. Yep. Keep supporting the website, www.wrestling-news.com. Call the hotline, 718-303-4444. The hotline is free to call. We will not charge any money. If you live outside of New York, long-distance charges apply. My advice, get some long-distance unlimited plan, or if you have the cell phone with the nights free, call with the cell phone.
Yeah, do that.
Yep. Anyway, cool. Any last comments, any last thoughts?
ECW tomorrow night. Let's see if a new era begins or a clusterfuck starts.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to make this little announcement for everybody that's listening. I know we're not doing an online radio show again until next Monday night, but if you
when are we doing the next hotline report?
If you would like, call 718-303-4444 Tuesday night, right after the ECW one-hour debut. We will be doing a hotline report, so if you want to hear our thoughts about the hotline, don't want to wait until next Monday, give it a call. So
cool.
Suck it.
Yep. And, Vengeance, right around the corner. They're going to do the press conference tomorrow. So you think RVD is going to lose the belt to Edge?
Yes.
Who do you think's going
to lose? I don't think he's going to be the champion at that time.
Really? You think he's going to lose it before then?
I don't know what's going
to
happen tomorrow.
To be honest, I don't like the situation at all. So
you know what I think is going to happen tomorrow? And I know majority of people are listening, are going to listen to it on the archive, and it would have happened already. But you know what I think is going to happen tomorrow? Edge is going to show up on...
maybe steal the belt, is that a possibility?
No, no. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to try to christen it the ECW title. It's going to be... Edge ruins it. Or better yet, I don't even think Edge is going to ruin it. I think John Cena is going to ruin it. I think John Cena is going to, knock out RVD with a chair. He's going to start fucking around over there, and then RVD...
Yeah, if anybody noticed, like, the ECW guys sort of, like, helped Edge tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think Edge is going there for problems.
Yeah, I think John Cena is going to turn around and he's going to fuck this whole ceremony up tomorrow. And then you're going to see RVD fucking do the pussy thing, demand that John Cena get thrown in the match and it's a three-way. Because remember, who's John Cena going to be fighting Vengeance?
That's true. They
he's
don't
got
have
nobody else.
It's going
to be a three-way.
So they're going to have two three-way matches?
Speaking of three ways, I got to call my girlfriend's sister.
Yeah, speaking of three ways.
I'm just kidding.
Shout out to Dana Davison tonight.
speaking of three ways.
Speaking of three ways or speaking of viral diseases?
Oh, God.
Actually, both.
Good Lord.
By the way,
we end on a good Lord DX moment.
Yeah, keep spoiling the website and.
That's going to be cool next week when the DX.
Joe, by the way, before I go, when is the replay of Raw on?
Wednesday
night at what time?
They give it twice. They give it at 8 o'clock and at 10 o'clock on Moon 2.
MUN2.
I got to check that out.
All right.
We'll talk tomorrow night then.
Yep.
All right.
Take care, everybody. Right. Thank you very much for listening. Peace. We'll be back online live next Monday night at 11:30.
Suck it.
Sayonara.